Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the fifth day of January, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is a time of great deception. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumru Ambeth. Callers will be welcome later on in the broadcast. We do ask that you maintain proper decorum and watch your language as we have young folks that listen in. We also ask that you don't walk on each other if we have multiple callers on at the same time. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody coming into the program or the chat is muted until such time as they flag me, and then I will unmute them. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and again, that's pastordan.net with no spaces or special characters. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe: none are as hopelessly enslaved as those who falsely believe they are free. The truth has been kept from the depth of their minds by masters who rule them with lies. They feed them on falsehoods until wrong looks like right in their eyes. Does the scripture that has to do with good being called evil and evil being called good come to mind? Now, there is an awful lot of stuff going on. The year 2020 obviously is coming at us at 100 miles an hour with all sorts of things going on. Please note the timing of this thing going on with Iran as we approach the head-to-head confrontation in the state of Virginia. You see, the media and the kabuki theater being played by the media and the media watchdogs, who are the intelligence agencies, which are all part of Washington, D.C. and the swamp, they're constantly manipulating you. They're constantly trying to drive you this way or that. They're constantly trying to get you to look one way so that you don't notice what's going on in another. So, is there multiple reasons for why we're being distracted with what's going on in Iran? Yeah. Because, first of all, they want the sheep, the mindless minions out there, the useless eaters that the communists like to call you. They don't want you paying attention to Virginia. They want to take the heat off of the Bolshevik governor there and the Bolsheviks within the state government as they try to disarm us and prepare us for the slaughter. And I still have people contacting me going, well, I guess I should have voted for Hillary, huh? Well, you people out there, let me tell you something. If you want to worship Donald Trump and his administration, you go right ahead. You're the ones who are going to face judgment over what you decide to do, not me, okay? I told you a long time ago, setting Trump up as a messiah is a form of idolatry, and you've done exactly that. Because Hillary was an obvious no-brainer Bolshevik demon from hell, which did what? Made whatever choice they gave you look like an angel. Then you throw in some speeches telling you exactly what you knew anyway, but typically Washington doesn't. So you took this all of a sudden pervert, ultra rich pervert with Jews all over him, all of a sudden saying patriotic things, even though he grew up doing all kinds of things that were nasty, and you believe he's your Messiah because they put Hillary on the other side. And what gets me is 3 years into his administration, you're still doing that. You're still worshiping him. Yahweh, have mercy on our souls. That's all I can say. I was hoping that by now the truth would matter to the people. But I think we're still exactly where we've been. I don't see a sign that our people are growing in intelligence and a desire for truth at all. Instead, we're still buying the bullshit and lies, the kabuki theater. The similarities to what's going on right now with what happened under Bush Jr. and Obama, as well as others, but those are the recent ones, and the Clintons. We came, we saw, he died, and you bought it. Now a guy that you, none of you knew this man's name. 3 weeks ago. You didn't know who this guy was, but he's the greatest terrorist to walk the earth. Does that sound familiar? Let's see, before him it was Saddam Hussein. Then there was Muammar Gaddafi. Then there was Ceausescu. Then there was Assad. You want to know why the Bolsheviks don't change their MO? Why should they change it? Because it works every single time. Instead of stopping and putting the brakes on and going, whoa, wait a minute, we just sent a drone, which, by the way, is probably the most cowardly way to take somebody out that you can imagine. That's why there's so little respect for snipers amongst real soldiers. Because snipers shoot their prey from a distance. They don't confront them. And now we don't even send soldiers in. We send unmanned aircraft with weaponry on it. So the level of cowardice has now escalated up another notch. But we, the people who are supposed to hold our politicians accountable for their actions, have once again turned a blind eye to an obvious ploy to orchestrate war in Iran for the benefit of the Israelis, and we're buying the bullshit, the kabuki theater, yet again. I shake my head. I shake my head because the people that I get the most argument from are some of the people with the higher IQs. Well, at least I thought they had higher IQs. This is what just absolutely astounds me. Is the ability of electronic toilets to manipulate our minds reach that level of sophistication that even people that I thought had an IQ, intelligence quotient, high enough that they could see through this utter bullshit? And I hate to keep using that term, but that's all that comes to my mind. When I was a young man, that was the term you gave for people handing you a hot, slimy pile of manure that stunk to heaven. And if you grew up on a farm like I did, you know exactly what they mean by bullshit and how much it stinks. You get handed this same pile of crap, and yet it smells like a rose to you because it comes from your idol. The same people that have caused all of the heartache and disastrous decisions that have been made for the past 150 years, the same group of people. And you think all of a sudden they're great guys going to solve our problems. The same group. Murder after murder. False imprisonment. Extortion. Blackmail. Threats. Assassination. You name it. They've done it. And yet you think this same cabal of misfits is now all of a sudden doing the world a favor by assassinating this guy in Iran, Soleimani. Which, again, up until a week ago, you didn't even know who the hell he was. And yet, you're out there cheering and waving your flags, just like you did on 9/11, when the Israelis and insiders in Washington orchestrated the highest, the most terrible act of terrorism on our shore. Our own government and our so-called allies did it. Here we are, 19 years later, 18 years later, and you still don't get it. When the prophets of old told us that Father at different times regretted making us, does it seem to come clearer to your mind why he would say that? It does mine, because I wonder the same thing. Why in the world he allows us to even exist is beyond my comprehension. The fact that Americans buy this absolute trash that we're handed doesn't surprise me anymore. No level of stupidity by mankind amazes me anymore. It really doesn't. And I'm not saying I'm the smartest guy to walk the earth, but the level of ignorance of the people that occupy this earth is just mind-blowing. It's incomprehensible. So I'm at the point now where I'm questioning Father on a daily basis, why are we here? Why are we tolerated at all? As we're told in the scriptures, the whole world is in travail waiting for the sons of Yahweh to be manifested. I don't know that they exist. The level of apathy and the level of acquiescence to these criminals that operate in the seats of government, I've never seen it higher. And I know people say, well, Dan, Yahweh's in charge. Well, yeah, ultimately, Yahweh's in charge of everything. But I also know that he does not have puppet strings pulling on us and we just dance around like marionettes. We have a certain level of free will, and there is a certain level of responsibility for us to behave ourselves. I still believe that a large part of what this existence on this earth is all about is a test. And, you know, Levi Hunter says here, well, that's one sand nigger that can't come here. I lost my job to an Iranian. So it's the Iranians' fault that we have immigrants stealing our jobs. It's not just the Iranians. I got news for you. The number of Iranians here is minimal compared to everybody else. Take a look in California, and you'll see it's Hispanic and Chinese. Hispanic and Chinese spoken more than English in the whole state of California. I consider that a much bigger threat than Iranians. And you know what, though? Let me tell you something. When I was in the United States Air Force, do you know who was stationed at the Air Force base I was at in the 1970s? Iranians. They were learning to fly in the T-38 training jets that we had. And guess who was training them? The United States Air Force officers were flying and training Iranians how to fly jet aircraft. That was 1970s at Dyess Air Force Base. All right, put that feather in your cap. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Once again, the people that we're saying are the worst and most terrible people on earth are the very people that were our allies, that we funded them with billions of dollars and trained them. Just like Iraqis, just like Iranians, just like Libyans, the very people we set up. Yeah, we killed their king, the Shah. He was not a king. The Shah of Iran, yeah, that's right. But who set the Shah up? We did. Who set up Saddam Hussein? We did. Who killed Saddam Hussein? We did. Who set up Gaddafi? We did. Who killed Gaddafi? We did. Do you see any kind of a common denominator in here? Is there a common denominator anywhere along there? Yeah, it's called the United States of America. Us. Regime change. We set up regimes and we take them down when they don't do exactly what we say. I don't know. I don't know. You know what comes to my mind is just to say, you're on your own. You're on your own. Because I don't think anybody listens to logic or reason anymore in this world at all. I really don't. All you want to do is bitch and moan, stick knives in each other's back, piss and moan, and argue over inconsequential bullshit matters while the enemy is running circles around you, getting ready to lead you off to the greatest slaughter mankind has ever seen. And yet you still want to play games. You still want to play house. You still want to bicker. You still don't give a damn. You still got egos the size of a house. You don't want to be a team player. Everybody wants to be a chief when we don't have enough Indians and we're going to get our asses kicked. Everybody walks around with this frickin' assumption that the United States is the good guys. Well, so what you're telling me then is you know more than Douglas MacArthur. You know more than General Smedley Butler. You know more than General George S. Patton. Not to mention a host of others, such as Sergeant First Class Stephen Barry of the Special Forces Underground. I guess you know more than he does. Or Colonel Francis Farrell. Or Colonel Don de Grand Pré. Or Major John Knight. All of them are my friends, the ones that are still alive. Most of them have passed on. But they came on this program to tell us we're not the good guys. We ceased being the good guys a long time ago, about the time the corporations sprang up and America became a corporatocracy and man worships money. Because that's really the root of all evil, the worshiping of money, the lusting and loving of money. I've heard it so many times, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. And if I'm sick of it, how sick can our Father in heaven be of it? He watches from on high, and all our people give a damn about is how much money can I make? If it makes money, it's got to be good. I even had an intelligent individual tell me, or at least I thought he was, that because we're the strongest nation on earth, we have the right to force our will on other countries. Really? Wow, that's a pretty moral take on things. And yet, these same cretins that say such asinine things will denounce Adolf Hitler because it's assumed that that's what he wanted to do, because he was the strongest European power at that time. And so he was a devil because he was going to impose German hegemony on European countries. And yet he's a devil. And yet these same cretins will tell me that that gives us the moral justification to go in and enforce our will upon Middle Eastern countries or South African countries or South American countries or Central American countries, which we've been doing for a long time. You people are hypocrites, you know that, right? People that think that way are hypocrites. You have cognitive dissidence. You have one set of standards for one group of people and a completely different set of standards for another. And yet, what scripture tell us? One set of measures. One set of standards. That's how you have justice in the world. You don't have two sets of weights and measures. You have one. that applies to everybody. But you know what? You people don't give a damn. You got a completely set of different standards for your little Messiah sitting in the White House than you do for the rest of the world. You're hypocrites. I had great hopes that America was finally coming out of her slumber and truth would matter, and then this happens. It just shows you how pliable we are, how gullible we are, how instantly stupid we are as soon as anybody puts up a false staged event and pulls out a flag and calls somebody the greatest terrorist when you don't have a clue. You don't have a clue. We talk about liberty in this country, and there's a meeting coming up in Virginia where the Second Amendment is a big issue, because we claim we believe in the rule of law, and we believe that the Constitution guarantees our God-given right to be armed, which is a God-given right. It's not a constitutional right. It's a God-given right. Constitution only applies to public servants. And tells them to obey our rights, to recognize our rights. And it's funny as hell for me to sit and watch people who are bent out of shape over the government going to step on your rights, and yet one of the fundamental rights that set America apart from Europe and the rest of the world was the fact that we believed in innocent until proven guilty. I want to ask a question. Where was the trial that convicted this general? And besides, it wasn't just the general that died that day, folks. You might want to ask yourself who the other individuals were, because this general might not have been the target. He was a subsidiary target. But they want you to focus on him because he's the easiest to demonize. Who were the other people that died? Did you ever ask that question? And again, this was a military strike on a country that we're not at war at. And until a few years ago, we were training their Air Force pilots and we were sending them billions of dollars in aid. And all of a sudden, now they're our enemy. Does it sound like Iraq by any chance? Is there a bell ringing there in that brain? Does it sound a little bit like Libya with Gaddafi? Does it sound a little bit like Syria with Assad? Just asking. Does it sound a little bit like Vietnam with the Gulf of Tonkin incident that never happened, by the way? Does it sound at all like the Spanish-American War with the USS Maine? I'm just asking. Is any bells going off there? You know, the so-called think tanks, which are just nothing more than warmongering Zionists in Washington, the think tanks will talk about the fact that all the time, to guide the American people the way we need to, we need these false flags. I just sent out a link for a guy that was giving a speech 4 years ago in Washington, a Zionist, talking about all the false flags that got the Americans into wars, admitting it. Well, here's how we did it back for the Spanish-American War. Here's how we did it for the Civil War. The exact same scenario over and over again. Well, we wanted war, but we couldn't actually come out and declare war on them just out of the blue, so we had to put the pressures on certain elements and create a situation to where we struck so we look like the good guys, in other words. But we did everything we needed to do to force the issue. Does it sound like Pearl Harbor just a little bit? Are any bells going off yet? Any whistles? I give up. I give up on the American people. As of today, I give up on them. I give up the most everybody on this earth today, but most certainly the United States. I give up on them. I'll do whatever Father wants me to do for what's left of my life. That was my promise when I was a child, and I will do that. But as far as me as a man, I give up on Americans. I give up on you. I'm done. I'm done. I'm done. 20 years, and I'm not the only one, but 20 years you've been listening to rational thinking, trying to tell you how to address a situation, and the very first frickin' time somebody comes up and does the same goddamn thing that they do every frickin' time, you fall for it again. There is no hope for the white man on this earth. There is none. So get ready for your demise. Get ready for the slaughter you've been led up to, and just accept your fate. When a race of people becomes this flipping ignorant, I don't believe they deserve to go on. I hate to say that. I have some beautiful grandchildren, but by God, what the hell do we deserve to go on for? And yeah, I'm angry. I'm angry because we don't learn. We just don't learn. It's either that or we're pathetically cowardly and lazy. But we don't learn. We are 100% media driven in this country. Not 90%, 100%. It's no wonder the Jew gets away with what he does. He learned a long time ago when he came to this country, two things he had to conquer: money and media. M&M. Money and media. And with the control of those two, he could push the white man any direction he wanted. And by God, they've done it. It is so rare to find the white man who can think for himself today. It's rare. Rare! Because they're all driven by that flat screen called the image controlled by the beast. Stop calling it the image of the beast. It's not image of the beast like most people think. It's not going to be the image, meaning a picture of a person. It's the images controlled by the beast. And what did he say? As many as would worship the beast and the image of the beast should perish. Kiss your asses goodbye, people. And when he said, my flock's a tiny flock, he wasn't kidding. The number of people that have figured out that this flat screen with these images controlled by this beast is your enemy and leading you to the slaughter is so few that the ark could probably hold them all. Controlled by the images controlled by the beast. The images of the beast, of meaning possessive. I still walk by people's homes where I live. Every night you'll see the blue glow of death on the walls. You know they've got their flat screens on, whether it's a computer, a great big 50, 60-inch television, whatever. Television, Talmud vision. It's sickening. People that I used to respect and thought they had intellect, and yet they can't go an evening without that son of a bitch on. They can't go an entire evening without turning on that image controlled by the beast to get their minds filled with the latest garbage, the latest lies, the latest misrepresentations. Over and over and over and over. And I apologize, folks. I know I'm ranting. But this job is frustrating as hell. It's frustrating as hell. Because to me, it's so in your face, easy to see. And yet, my countrymen, my racial kin, choose ignorance over the truth. I don't know. I'm at a loss. And I'm hoping some folks will call in at different points because I just don't get it. Let me read you a note that was sent to me today. This is from a brother in Texas. Everyone has an opinion and a certain body part, he's talking about ass, that everyone has also, to put it nicely, but at this point, opinions mean nothing. Right or wrong, legal or not, it's already happened. It's useless to fret about what's been done, and we need to make sure that we have made as adequate preparations as we are able for whatever else will come. It could be that very soon none of us will be able to communicate over the internet or cell phones, landlines, or even snail mail. And most importantly, Yahweh is ultimately in control. We should never diminish or forget that. Yahweh bless. Patrick. This came from another one of my associates called Son of the Almighty. I've defended Trump plenty of times from the Marxist fake news over the last few years. I've given him the benefit of the doubt, even though he surrounded himself with Antichrist Jews. I apologize for defending his actions at times, hoping he had to do certain things to deceive the war party and trick the deep state. I never defended him because of any moral high ground, for he is pretty much bankrupt in that area of life, at least from the past. As scripture says, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. We are getting further from the kingdom every day, it seems. Some inconvenient truths. Martin. David Duke, of all people, had this to say: the truth is that General Soleimani, along with Christian Russia and the courageous Syrian people, kept 3.5 million Christians in Syria from being slaughtered by ISIS and Al-Qaeda, both of them created by our CIA, by the way, and Israelis. The real evil is the Zionist warmongers who are leading Trump and America into hell. David Duke. And I've got that from many more sources other than David Duke, that the fact that this general, and the reason why Washington, D.C. and the Pentagon hate him, is he led successful missions to prevent us and these CIA-backed so-called terrorists from slaughtering Muslim and Christian people. And yet my brothers and sisters are shouting hallelujah that we went in and murdered this guy. Or I've heard such ridiculous things as that the Iranian people are terrible, bad people, and you don't know anything about Iranians, etc. Well, let's see. Iran used to be Persia. Iran at one time was run by white people. That's what the word Aryan means. And Iran is from Sanskrit, which means Aryan. So our ancestors are the great ancestors of the Iranian people. And Iran has not been at war with anybody in 200 years. Can we say that? Well, Dan, you don't know where their money goes. Well, you know what? You're right. I don't. But neither do you. You don't know a goddamn thing about Iran, people. That's my point. Instead of saying, wait a minute, We just took out an individual. Do you think maybe we should put a team of righteous individuals together and get to the bottom of this? No. We do what the Zionists want us to do, and that's we put our rational brains over on the table, we get out our flags, and we rah, rah, rah. God bless America. And I still ask, 20 years I've been asking, and nobody has answered me yet. Why on God's green earth would Yahweh bless this nation? I'm still waiting for an answer to that. I really am waiting. Nobody's answered it yet. Let's see. Tommy, can you hear
me? Yeah, how you doing?
Well, once my blood pressure comes back down, I guess I'll be all right.
Yeah, I've been. I'm really perturbed about what's going on too. It's funny. I was on Facebook earlier, and then Trump says something about something, and I say, "Yeah, Civil War II is about erupts in Virginia." Dot dot dot, and it says crickets from the president.
Is that right?
I mean, seriously, it's like this guy is stupid. He's dumb. I thought he was smart up until like about a year ago, and I'm like, all right, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. This guy's stupid. The Iranians are not going to get into a conventional war. They know they would lose. So we know what they're going to do? They have already imported people through here, through the border. Obama, who paid them $150 billion, they used that money years ago to have people in here. They're going to hit the power grid. I get that sense that these guys are going to hit the power grid. They know they can't take us down conventionally, so they're going to take us from the inside.
Yeah, there's been quite a few analysts, the people that I consider the most rational anyway, that would agree with you, Tommy.
Mm-hmm. It hit me like a ton of bricks, and I'm like, I says, I don't see the right wing taking out the power grid unless there's a Democrat president. So they're not going to do it, but these guys will do it, and that's what's going to kick things off.
Well, when you say kick things off, what do you think would happen?
Well, when the power goes down, after about 24 hours, when there's no power going back on, all the services break down dramatically. People's cell phones start to die down, so they can't call. You know, they can't call the police, can't call hospitals, can't do this. People start to panic. They start going to the stores, whatever's left on the shelves. They empty up the shelves. Within 72 hours, there's already riots. There's already mass home break-ins. There's already all this kind of stuff. And the government is not going to be able to send out a communique to say, the power went out over here, because there will be no power. So they're not going to be able to get their lies out. They're screwed. If they can't tell people what to think, they're done. So this is stupid what Trump did. This is dumb. Because I think what the Jews wanted to do is say, Trump, we need to get you more focused on other things than this impeachment thing, even though it's all a ruse. So we need you to take out this one general, this Iranian general who keeps threatening Israel. We take him out, and then you're going to look like a hero to your base. And blah, 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 blah. I mean, I saw a post where there are all these Trump supporters in like the thousands at recruiting stations. What the hell is wrong with you people? You didn't want war. Now you're cheering for war? What the hell is wrong with these people?
You know, Tommy, you know what's amazing to me? I had a couple people contact me, and they say, well, okay, Dan, I guess we should have voted for the beast Hillary then, huh?
Yeah, I actually think we would have been better off, because then we would have taken back this country by then.
That's right. The Civil War would have started right then and there.
Yeah.
And so we were led down the primrose path, and because Hillary was so despicable, we turned our blind eye to this character. And now, 3 years later, Tommy, I got to ask you, what the hell would have been the difference other than the timing? What would be different?
I think the only thing would be the territories would have been split up by now.
Yeah, we would have been at war already.
We would have been at war. probably within 6 months to a year, she was going to sign an executive order to ban pretty much all guns after 100 days, and she said she was going to do this. Most of the red states were going to defy those orders, and that was going to kick off things with the feds right there. So that right there was going to be the line in the sand. And there was going to be excessive taxation. It was going to be all these things. So the states would come in, and they're going to form their own union at this point. They're going to say, well, we're formally seceding. That's how it would start.
Well, what gets me is all these Trump-tards. George Washington told us very clearly, don't ever fall for this two-party system bullshit.
Yep.
And yet that's exactly what we're doing. And yet these same, and I got to use this term now, look it up in the dictionary, folks. Our people have become cretins. It means people of low intelligence.
Yeah.
Our people have become cretins because there is no difference. You've got Republican Bolsheviks and you've got Democrat Bolsheviks, but they're both Bolsheviks.
Mm-hmm.
All that's different is the rhetoric and the timing. That's all. I just don't get it. A form of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, expecting a different result. We keep electing Republicans and Democrats thinking we get something different, but nothing changes, Tommy.
Nope, it gets worse. Because remember, it was a Republican president who signed a red flag law down in Florida. It was a Republican president, governor, who did that. Rick Scott.
Yeah.
And who was a guy who was very pro-gun just a few years prior.
Right.
Interesting, huh? Every time they run for that demon-controlled Senate, they turn into the biggest demons.
Well, yeah, but also DeSantis.
Yeah.
Is a Jewish ass-kisser just as bad as our POTUS is.
Yeah.
All right, so it doesn't matter what comes out of his mouth because he's just like a Jew. He'll tell you whatever he wants, whatever you want to hear until he gets what he wants, which is in power.
Yep.
Okay, so Rick Scott was no better. He was another Zionist in sheep's clothing. And so he allowed Zika, that poison to sprayed on Floridians because of Zika, when Zika is nothing more than a severe headache. That was the worst thing that was going to happen if you actually had Zika. And Zika is a patented virus, by the way, which means it's man-made.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? It's man-made. So Rick Scott and his wife particularly, made millions of dollars forcing this poison to be sprayed on the people of Florida. So Rick Scott's a traitor and a piece of shit. Now we got DeSantis, another Zionist Jew ass kisser, is another piece of shit that tells us one thing and then does another. When are the people going to wake the hell up, Tom?
You know what? Like I said, I think the Iranians are going to strike the power grid. I think they're going to hack it. They're going to get help from the Chinese and the Russians. This is going to be a major offensive against the United States I don't consider my government. The United States government is not my government. They're not my government. They don't give a damn about me or you. They're against us constantly daily. So if anything, if another country comes in and overthrows them, good. Because then we have enough sufficient arms to take back our country from any foreign invaders as well. I ain't worried about that. Because then people are forced to get off their asses when the power goes off. When the power goes off and they can't go to the bank for their fake juice shekels anymore, when it means nothing, they're gonna come to the brutal reality that oh crap, it's all fake. Well, no crap, Sherlock. You know what I mean? That's the only way they're gonna get off their butts. There's only a small percentage right now that are willing to fight, but because the power's on, the TV's on, the internet's flowing and all this information's going on, people are just in wait mode right now. When it does kick off, it's going to kick off because the power goes down. And the reason why the government, that video I sent you from the channel Laurel,
yeah,
she did a great job. she did a fantastic job. And, you know, she's a very small channel, but this woman has been following things quite extensively, and she says there will be a civil war in this country. And she's going by the statistics as well. So there's more people coming onto the things of the reality of what is already happening. It's not that we're going to have a civil war. It's we are in a civil war. Right now, it's cold.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you for the most part. We got Henry on with us now, too. Henry, welcome to the program.
Hello, Dan, and hi, Tommy. Nice to meet you.
Hey, nice to meet you, man.
Yeah, Dan, I think this is... I've been following you for a few years now. I've been a part of your conferences for a couple of years. I think this is probably the most significant thing that's occurred in that time. I think, would you agree with that?
Yeah, this is a game changer right now.
Yeah. This so-called boogeyman, he was actually a genius, a military genius. So the Jews gave the assassination order, and Donnie carries it out. It's just the same old shit. He was elected to keep us out of these kind of things, and here we go again. The Jews and their lapdog, United States. It's just and why we tolerate, why the citizenry tolerates this shit. You know, you've been talking about that ad nauseum this morning. I mean, our people are so stupefied. It's insane. I think the only thing Iran can do, I think I do agree with Tommy as far as what Iran's best response will be. I think militarily, they probably realize it's no-win situation. But I don't think that they're chicken to get in a fight, even though I think they'd fight to the final death because that's the kind of people they are. But I think Tom is right as far as their response. It will probably be a cyber response. And how that chain reacts into this ongoing situation we've got with Virginia and the pending civil war, this is it seems like everything is going to come to a head in the next few weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Let me ask you guys a question. Do you guys remember a guy by the name of General Wesley Clark?
Yes. Jew boy.
Okay. He's a crypto Jew, but he was a top general in the United States for a while. Do you remember him doing an interview where he talked about the paper that was given to him showing the countries of the Middle East that would be conquered by the United States military?
And Iran was the last one, wasn't it?
Yeah, and did not we go into every country on that list in the last 20 years?
Yes, we did. Everyone.
Okay. Now, I want to ask the mental midgets that call themselves white people out there, do you think it's a coincidence that Wesley Clark, in a public interview, says, here's the nations on the Israeli list, the wish list by these Zionist Bolshevik pieces of shit Jews, here's the countries they want us to take, and we've gone into every one of them, in order.
You know what?
We think that's a coincidence.
Yeah, and you know what? That video hasn't been pulled either, and anybody can Google that and call it up now, and yet we still sit here and we're stupefied.
I'm sure as hell not stupefied.
Well, you know what I mean. Either. I'm talking about the majority of the folks, the 95%. Maybe it's 99%. I don't know.
You know what? From comments I've been reading, it's actually quite a bit of people that are really pissed off right now. There's a lot of people.
Yeah, but you know what? There's a lot of people that are pissed off for the wrong reasons, too, though. There's still
No. They're pissed off at at this going on. They're really pissed off at this. So we're not the only ones, believe me. That's why I see for my own self, and I'm not just making this up. So it's like I think there's a lot more of us out there than people realize. There really is. And you know what? Like I said on the last call, was on New Year's Day, is that a lot of the people, they're not even gonna talk about things, they're just prepping. They're prepping and they're when it's go time, it's go time. So because they realize you're not gonna petition Trump to do anything right, he's completely controlled. You're not gonna petition a psychopath to respect you. exactly what Pastor Dan says all the time. These people have zero empathy for anybody else, even for themselves. They don't care.
I'm not in touch with these people like you are, Dan and Tom, you are, but I get a strange sense, not a strange sense, but I get a sense that an awful lot of them are still pro-Trumpers, no matter what he does. And a lot of them are willing to fight for Trump, believe it or not.
Because they think, oh, if he doesn't get in, socialism is going to be here. He's going to bring in socialism anyways.
Right.
He wants to bring in more legal immigration, which is importing socialism. Over 70% of them vote left.
They're just simple-minded.
He has not mass-deported them.
And, you know, a lot of them are simple-minded, and a percentage of the so-called patriots are very simple-minded.
Yeah.
But, you know.
And the thing is, I think a true patriot is the one that looks at the true situation and says, I don't care who's in charge. This is not my country anymore.
Well, that's the definition of a true patriot. We got a lot of patriots, but, this is really going to be messy, though.
Oh, this is going to be bad, because they put up, I guess, in some mosques or somewhere around in Iran, they put up some kind of red flag. Well, that's a call sign for war. Now, people think, oh, yeah, the United States is going to blow them to smithereens. I says, yeah, they're going to do it all they like. They're going to send in a few hundred, which they already have, because Obama set that up.
Yeah.
He sent them that $150 billion in cash, by the way. You think they just spent it on nukes? No. They barely spent it on nukes, because they're not going to use nukes. They're not stupid. They're not going to bring in trucks of nukes to do that. No, because why would you nuke the places that you're going to take over eventually, or if you think you would? That would be dumb.
Right.
You don't do that. What you do is you send in sleeper cells. You send in sleeper cells that are going to work for the power company. And they're not going to be Iranian, by the way. They're going to be white people. They're going to be Spanish people. They're going to be black people. They've been bought off. People think it's all these terror cells are only going to be Muslims with big beards and all this. Are they stupid? Of course, the ISIS was going after Swedish girls. They're leaving their countries to go join ISIS. Whites. It's just like you're not even going to know who they are until they strike. This is where a lot of these people really need to get in their heads is that it's not the Arabs. These people have been used the entire time. The Arabs, unfortunately, most of them are very low IQ and they're very simplistic. So they've been used by Jews the entire time. And yes, there are a lot of psychopath Arabs, but there's also a lot of good Arabs. And they see the same problem. They see exactly what's going on. They've been warning us, don't fall for this crap. We want to be left alone. I don't blame them. They said, get your military bases out of here. We don't want you here. We'll trade with you, but that's it. I mean, how hard is that to understand? It's the same exact thing as the Virginians saying, leave us alone. We don't want any problems. We're law-abiding. We do what we got to do. We're not committing crimes every day. And yet they have these psychopaths up in Virginia that are going to send the 28 people. Did you hear about this one, by the way? 28 people are going to go take the entire state's guns away. This is just laughable.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, psychopath is the perfect definition because they're textbook psychopaths. And which means, like you said, they have no conscience. They have no empathy whatsoever. They only care about themselves and their agenda. They're just criminal, insane criminals. That's it. Period. Psychopath. Just go look it up. There's books, all kind of books. Go to my website, PastorDan.net. I got a recommended reading list. I've got at least 6 or 7 books by PhDs describing psychopathic behavior, and I also put up the latest book by Tex Mars. One of the books he wrote before he passed, Psychopaths, Yesterday, Today, and Tomorrow.
Yes.
And in that book, he talks about it. And who are the greatest psychopaths walking in shoe leather? Jews!
Jews. Tex Mars was the first, he was actually the first guy that I started listening to on a regular basis when I woke up. This is like 5-6 years ago. And I used to listen to his broadcasts on the internet, and used that term. So he was calling everybody a psychopath, and I had never heard that before. He was calling this politician, all of our politicians, psychopaths, all these Jews, and I'm like, this, it sounded kind of crazy at first, but it's absolutely, he was absolutely right on the money. I bought a couple of his books, too, and I mean, yeah.
Well, there's a doctor, Dr. Hare, H-A-R-E, he's a PhD, and he's been giving talk. He's been giving talks about psychotic behavior since the 60s or 70s. But I watched, and I've got two or three of his books on my website listed. But I watched a little bit of an interview he gave quite a few years ago describing psychotic behavior, and I sat there with my mouth open. It was unbelievable. He was describing these Zionists in our country.
Yes. Yep.
Okay? He didn't come out and call the Jews psychopaths, but as you sit there listening to this doctor explaining psychotic behavior, you sit there going, my God, that's Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're all psychopaths.
Oh, yeah.
He basically ran through the list of behaviors that identify psychopaths. First of all, no conscience, no empathy for what they do to other people, and habitual liars.
Yep.
And you know what cracks me up is Mike Pompeo, that piece of shit that we've got in Washington, doing an interview bragging about the fact when he was with the CIA, they everything unethical that there was imaginable, lying, deceiving, false flags. And he even talks about the fact, and he's laughing, oh, we went to school to learn how to do all this.
Yep. Amazing, isn't it?
Yep.
Just, it's right there in our faces collectively, and the American people just refuse to wake up. I think most of the rest of the world realizes how stupid we are as a country. We're just ignorant of who rules us. Again, generally I'm talking about our society, not the folks like on this call, but man, pathetic.
Yeah. You know, here's something that where I think I follow Kurt Doolittle on Facebook. So one guy asked him about this thing going on in Iran, and the guy says, Kurt, if you have time, what is your take on yesterday's airstrikes and the possible acceleration or repercussions of your movement? He says, my preference would be escalation so that the military is occupied. And then he continues on later on pretty much, and the whole point is that they're focused on what's going to come after. They're not. They know things are going to happen. Then, and the thing is, they understand that, look, we're going to keep going around in this psychopathic cycle of just constant nonsense. Well, when the military's occupied, the military isn't going to come in and fight the Patriots when it comes down to it. They're going to have to use DHS. They're going to have to use they're probably going to have to recruit street gangs at this in the urban centers, because they're not going to have any willing enough willing cops to go.
What about the UN forces?
The UN is the UN spread thin. Okay, they're saying that there's 250,000 in Cuba. Well, according to the UN's numbers, there's only 90,000. They're running low on money. So how are they going to afford to feed 250,000 troops all over? And where are they going to bring them? They're all over the planet right now. The reality is that's the thing. The UN can lie to us, but they're not going to lie to us because the numbers don't lie. Where do they get the money? Well, all these countries are not going to give the UN all this money because the UN is useless. They really are. They're just an auxiliary force. That's really what they are. They're not even a military like you could rely on. I mean, the United States military alone would take over countries. They don't even need the UN's help. So you have to spend extra money on them, and you have to mix in their country's militaries and all this, and it's just a cluster. So reality is, yes, the UN is probably going to show up in the urban centers, but if they show up in the rural areas, they're going to go missing.
Yeah.
And people will collect blue helmets. I've been hearing this for years. So they're probably not going to be as dumb to go into the rural areas. They may try it first, and they're going to find they're going to lose a lot of people. It's going to destroy their morale. So the UN, in my opinion, and the opinion of a lot of the people, is that they're not really going to be a factor. So yes, to look out for them, but you're not going to see tens of thousands of them in one area. Maybe New York City, L.A., any of the places that, you know, that the left really needs control of, and which is just really stupid still. because those places just don't have any logistics factor. They don't produce anything. So we come back to when the power goes down, it will go down because the Iranians have been planning this for a very long time. They're not stupid. They figure somebody in the United States is going to attack us. They're going to piss them off, and they may draw the fire of the U.S. to focus on attacking Iran alone. They already have sleeper cells here. They already have them here. Mark my words. They've been here probably for at least a decade.
Yeah, I think they used, you know, that money when they had that deal with Obama, all the money they got, all the billions of dollars they got from that deal. I think they
$150 billion.
Yep.
And do you realize what you could do? What you could do with even just a few million dollars with just a few sleeper cells?
Mm-hmm. And that's $150 billion. So
$150 billion. So yeah, they're not going to use chemical warfare. They're going to attack the power grid. I'm telling you right now, it's the most effective way. It's the most effective way to take down an entire country that relies strictly on electricity.
Isn't it amazing when you see something like this play out with Donald Trump being the stupid idiot that he is?
Mm-hmm.
The way countries like Iran and Russia, you know, I hate China, but even China sometimes, you know, they act like adults when it comes to these kind of conflicts, and we are like a child.
We don't get our way. Oh, we need that lithium. Let's go bomb Africa over here.
Freaking unbelievable.
Well,
it's embarrassing.
Well, Pastor, I remember through your email, I got there was a website, Pastor Tom Luongo. I'm sorry, not Pastor. There's Tom Luongo.
Yes.
I read that article, and that guy's on point.
Yeah, I thought that was a very good article.
Yeah, and you know, he didn't sound like an anti-Trump person. He just sounds like someone very, very logical and who's looking at things, saying, you know, Trump's is point of no return. Like, this is the downfall of Trump right here.
Well, that's a good point, Tommy. I wouldn't necessarily call it the downfall. It's the revelation. It's the revelation of who he really is, because up till now, everybody's been walking around with rose-colored glasses on, overlooking all of the indicators that he was a liar.
Yeah.
Okay? So now the rose-colored glasses have to come off.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be a complete idiot not to see who he really is now.
Yeah, I see exactly what it is. Like, I'm done with him. I'm done.
Yeah, he's a shill for the Zionist warmongering Jew. That's it. That's all he is. He's a sock puppet.
Because some people are under the impression that he's pro Second Amendment.
Yeah, right. Sure he is.
He's pro Second Amendment as Obama was straight.
Yeah. Let's see, his lips were moving. So what was he doing? Lying. Okay, Obama's lips moved and he was lying. Bush's lips moved and he was lying. Clinton's lips were moving and he was lying. Okay, so they're all the same. People that think the swamp's going to clean the swamp, I mean, we should have been smart enough to figure it out. But given we're all desperate, everybody's desperate for a nonviolent solution. That's human nature.
Yeah.
So when the enemy knows this, why Trump was put there. He's a Trojan horse.
Yeah.
Okay. How did Troy fall? Because
Trojan
the horse. Trojans were tired of war.
Yep.
Americans are tired of war. So when the enemy put the Trojan horse out there, the people inside the city said, "Hey, they're finally done. No more war. Bring that trophy right in here. We brought that trophy right into our living rooms. Hail Donald! Hail the new Messiah!"
Yep.
The whole time he's a frickin' Trojan horse. We didn't even know it. Well, now, thank, praise be to Yahweh. Now, you cannot have rose-colored glasses on, or you are part of the problem. If
Bingo.
You're still worshiping Trump now, you're part of the other side. That's my opinion.
In my opinion, they're just an extension of the left.
They're extension of the left. They're just a different branch of the same a communist regime. That's
exactly.
All.
You have your hardcore communists, then you have your moderate communists. You know what the moderate communists are? A lot of your boomers today. They don't care what happens to the next generations as long as their pension is there, as long as their Social Security is there, as long as they can keep their properties. They don't care about gun control. They don't care. And this is what drives me absolutely nuts. Because you have these people that say that they love their kids so much, yet they're voting for establishment Republicans who are nothing more than moderate communists. You know, let's just take the veil off.
One thing you said there, I hear this quite a bit from, I'm like in Dan's age category.
My parents are around, my mom's 70. I mean,
but a lot of the younger guys, I don't know how old you are, 30s or 40s.
I'm 38, yeah.
Okay. A lot of you, not you, but I hear a lot of you got younger guys just categorically blame the boomers for everything. Boy, that pisses me off.
I don't blame them for everything, and of course not, because my parents, of course, they can't
agree. That's just silly, because let me say something. For all you younger guys who are awakened now, okay, we didn't have the benefit of the internet back when we were 30s, in our 30s.
Yeah.
So, all this information that's come to light, it's helped a lot of people wake up, regardless of age or age category. So to just categorically say the boomers are responsible for all this is just nonsense.
Oh, no. I'm not saying it was one generation is entirely responsible for this. There's so many of the people in that age category.
There's idiots in every age category. Yeah. There always has been. There always will be.
Yeah, like the Gen X people are the biggest idiots.
Right.
However, there's a lot of them waking up too, because a lot of them are realizing they have no future. A lot of them are realizing it doesn't matter how many jobs are going to work, they're going to be broke as a joke. They're stuck in this debt forever, so they don't know who or what to blame anymore. And so I can't blame them either. I take responsibility for my own generation too. So we're all guilty. To some degree, we've all been compromised.
And it goes back to prior generations too. I go back to World War I. This country's been overtaken since the early 1900s.
1913, and really, if you think about
it. Exactly, that's when it started. So let's, if we want to keep, using the blame game, we can go back and back and back. It doesn't really do us any good, though.
No, that's where we need to go now is what do we do now? We can argue how we got here till we're blue in the face.
It's not going to matter at this point. Yeah,
there were conspiracies clear back in the middle 1800s, okay? Jefferson Davis had a stinking Jew in charge of the Confederacy's treasury. What a dumbass move that was. Okay.
Yeah.
So we've had treason in the form of Jewish shoe leather working in this country for way too long because we didn't listen to Benjamin Franklin and George Washington. They told us never to let them in here. We didn't listen to them either because we're dumbasses. Okay. I'm going to read a quote by John Stuart Mill here. And while I'm reading a quote, I'm going to come back to you guys for what do we do now? Forget the past.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where we are now. So I'm going to ask both of you, what do we do now facing a scenario similar to what Tommy said, where we may have sleeper cells that take us back to the Stone Age within 24 hours? But let me read the quote, and then I'm going to get your responses. Okay, this is what John Stuart Mill said, and I think we better pay attention to what he said here. The person who has nothing for which he is willing to fight, nothing which is more important than his own personal safety, is a miserable creature and has no chance of being free unless made and kept so by the exertions of better men than himself. In other words, as Coach Dave was talking about in Scripture, one of the things that our Heavenly Father abhors as much as an idol worshiper is a coward.
Cowardice.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'll start with you, Henry, and then we'll get Tommy, unless you guys want to switch.
Well, I feel that's how I've been feeling like that for a few years now. I mean, actually, more than that. Since I've awakened, I've had the attitude that I hate this world the way it is, and I just as soon take a few out on my way out. And that's the way I feel right now. It hasn't changed, and as a matter of fact, right now that would be my preference. I would just as soon be put in a situation right now where my life was on the line, and it's like this is the way I want to go. Because I know what's going to happen when I wake up on the other side.
Well, I understand that completely. But let me ask this: What would be your advice to, let's say, the younger people listening now? We're in this fix, nothing we can do about it, but what would be your advice to give them an upper hand or better odds of survival?
Three words I'd give to them. Death before dishonor.
Ah, that's a good one. Death before dishonor. I haven't heard that in a while. That's right.
Tommy,
okay.
Yeah, well, I agree with you in quite a bit, Henry. And earlier, I surely don't mean any disrespect to you guys whatsoever. So when I say that, so I apologize if I did that. I have nothing against the generations themselves. So I just want to keep that clear, because I love everybody on this call, and I have a lot of respect for you guys, and especially for, you know, my parents too. They did, you know, they did a lot with what they had. I am appreciative of that too. So I do tell these younger guys or younger people, like, look, chill, because they didn't know any better either. They gave you what you have today, so they did work their asses off to get that. So I do thank the boomer generation for what they did for us as well. So they did sacrifice in terms of the finances, and they did work hard. So, you know, we can't just put the blame on everything of that. We're all to blame. So outside of that, when it comes when you're talking about, Pastor, is the I tell people, look, a fight's coming. Many people are not going to make it. However, this is your chance to set up a good future. So prepare mentally, physically, and spiritually. Prepare with food. Prepare with firearms, ammunition. Prepare for a fight that is going to be extremely ugly. Prepare for a fight and prepare that you may not come out of it. But if you do come out of it, be prepared that we fix this problem. But, you know, let's not just go into this thing like a kamikaze and then just kill as many as whatever, and then yay, and that's it. Well, what comes after? Well, there's a system after that we can fix this problem. We can bring us back to what the Founding Fathers had and update it so that we don't have these problems again. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's the Kingdom Age, actually.
Yep.
So, Kurt and John Mark call it propertarianism, but if you really dissect it, it's biblical law.
Absolutely.
And if you boil the Bible down, because we're running out of time, a lot of people have not read the Bible. They claim that they have, but they really haven't. If you boil down all the words of those wise men that wrote the scriptures, it basically is propertarianism, with the law of reciprocity and the saying of do no harm.
Yep.
Okay? You do no harm to yourself. You do no harm to your neighbor. You do no harm to the animals and the vegetables and the earth itself. You do no harm, and you respect the rights of others. It's as simple as that. The only time that elders or judges or any kind of a magistrate gets involved is only if you violate somebody else's rights. As long as you're living within the law of reciprocity, nobody bothers you. You can, and that's part of our problem here. We've invited the government into so many areas of our life where they don't belong. They don't belong there. You no longer have a choice about how and where you're going to die and be buried. They've taken over that. You have no choice about where you're going to be born. Did you know 100 years ago, only about 5 to 10% of babies were born in a hospital? Now, they claim they can come in and take your child for child abuse if you don't have it in a hospital. We're that ridiculous.
Yeah.
We've made God out of government. We really have. We've replaced the living God with a little G God called government. It's unbelievable.
And that's idolatry. And what does God and what does Yahweh hate the most? Idolatry.
Idolatry, idols, worshiping things made by the hand of man out of inanimate objects. All right, we've literally set up idols called courthouses, called police stations. They're no different than temples. Now you go there to pay what? Respect. You worship. That's what worship means: to respect, to idolize, to revere, meaning giving obedience to it. They give obedience to idols and no obedience to the living God. None. None. They don't even recognize his existence. And that's one of the leading causes for me to tell you that Washington, D.C. is not going to fix a goddamn thing, because when was the last time any of those serpent creatures that slither around Washington, D.C. ever do anything in the name of the living God?
Nothing.
When? Nothing. Not one utterance out of all of those hypocritical, pompous asses' mouth. Not once. And yet, you got people, and I'm talking about conscientious people, who think that Washington's going to fix our problems. Where? Where? If there are white hats in Washington, they are the best camouflaged people I've ever met in my life.
The white hats. I love this one. The white hats are here. The Patriots in control. I'm thinking to myself, like, there's not even one mention of gun control or gun confiscation going on the cue boards. Not one. That this cloak and dagger Mossad agent is even talking about. There's a civil war about to go on in their backyard in right before D.C. and they're not even talking about it.
Right.
I mean, what is? There's something very wrong with that. At least mention it, then I would be like, all right, there might be something there. But they're not even talking about it.
Like, I didn't even know people still followed that cue board thing. My God!
Oh,
wow.
There's a lot of them. I stopped following it, but I wanted to take a look to see if they're even talking about it. They're not even talking about it. That should scare those people big time.
Well, you're right, and some of the channels I used to listen to, they're still coming out with ridiculous things saying the Patriots are winning. I'd like to know where the hell the Patriots are winning. If this is what you call the Patriots winning, maybe I should become a Bolshevik.
I know, right? They're talking about the Bolsheviks. That's what they're doing. They don't seem to realize, because this Q thing, it would put out all this disinformation. It would be like it put the Declaration of Independence of, when we have to alter the government at some point. And I'm like, the government is going to talk about replacing the government with what? It's something worse.
Right. They got something planned to take the place of our constitutional republic.
Oh yeah.
I'll guarantee you. Yeah, they got something to replace it, and most of the people out there aren't going to like what's coming.
No.
They've got a rude awakening coming. They should have been reading Alexander Solzhenitsyn's books and the books of the other people that lived in the gulags of Russia. They should have listened to the Germans like General Patton did after World War II. They listened, and Douglas MacArthur and my friend from Canada, Ian MacDonald, when they talked to the people of Germany after World War II, and they all realized the same thing. We fought the wrong enemy.
Yep.
Yeah.
We allowed the Jewish media to tell us that the Huns needed to die when it was the Germans who stood as the greatest force to repel the communists, and we destroyed them. And therefore, the communists have been on this world killing and maiming people by the tens of millions for decades, thanks to us. And those generals and those military men knew that we made a huge mistake. We had been lied to by elements of our own government and media to believe that the Germans were a threat and a problem, when the actual truth of the matter is the Germans and Italians were actually trying to stop the communists. And because of our complete idiocy, listening to the media, we don't like to blame older generations, guys. But let me tell you something. My mom and dad's generation, and I love my mom and dad, and I respect them as much as I can, but my mom and dad generation, I've actually heard these words out of their mouths. If it was true, it would be in the papers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it was true, it would be on the news.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually heard those words.
You're right.
Can you believe that?
Yeah. Unfortunately,
they didn't have access.
My father said the same thing too.
They didn't have They didn't have access to the internet, though. That's a lot different, I think. I give them cut them a little slack for that.
Yeah.
I cut them a little bit of slack, but let me tell you something. I didn't have the internet when I was a young man.
Yeah.
Well, Dan, you're a rare breed.
I didn't have the internet, and yet I was looking into, like, the John Birch Society, the what do they call it, the British Israel message. I was checking out everything I could get my hands on because inside my gut told me I was being lied to.
Yep.
During Vietnam, my military base was flying training missions of B-52 bombers twice as many as normal in the middle of the oil embargoes and the so-called gas shortage. They were flying twice. Do you know how much fuel a B-52 bomber uses up just to get off the ground?
I can't imagine.
Okay. Now, when you look at a B-52 bomber, you see those great big old wings?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what those wings are? They're fuel tanks.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Now, just picture a B-52, especially when it banks, because I used to watch them after they took off from the base, and it was impressive. It looks like a pencil with wings, because the fuselage is tiny compared to those gigantic wings. That's because that's where all the fuel is. It takes that much fuel for those eight Rolls-Royce engines, eight of those big monsters, to get that big old monster up off the ground. The very first thing a B-52 does when it reaches its flying altitude is refuel. It burned up all of that fuel in those two great big old wings just to get to altitude.
Wow.
Okay?
Are you kidding?
So a KC-31 tanker has to go up and refuel that plane just to replace what it took to get it off the ground and up the X number of thousands of feet. Okay?
That's insane.
So, and now, their training missions, because my base was in Texas, their training missions were to North Dakota and back. All right? So let me ask you a question, guys, logically speaking. If we're in the middle of an oil embargo and I'm paying what used to be 25 cents a gallon gas and now I'm paying upwards of 60 and 70 cents a gallon gas, I'm sitting in lines at the base gas station waiting my turn to get gasoline because it's being rationed, but my commander at the base is flying twice as many training missions at the same time, burning up all that jet fuel.
Oh, yeah.
Would that make a thinking man sit there and go, something doesn't seem quite right here?
Mm-hmm. The rest of the people are suffering while the government's playing God.
Well, maybe Yahweh worked in my life. Maybe this doesn't happen to everybody else. But at the same time in the 1970s when that was going on, my father worked for a major corporation in New Jersey, and he had friends who were truck drivers. And the truck drivers told him, he says, do you know what we do in the middle of the night? We take our 18-wheeler tankers to abandoned gas stations, and we dump the gasoline in their tanks when nobody's around to watch and seal them up.
Huh.
So we were told there was a gas shortage, but there's tankers dumping their fuel into tanks underground at abandoned gas stations to hide the gasoline.
Well,
the same time that the pastor, that wrote the non-energy crisis. Oh, my God, I can't think of his name now. Anyway, he wrote two books, The Non-Energy Crisis and To Seduce a Nation. Lindsay Williams, I think. Lindsay Williams. Okay, this pastor wrote those two books back in the 70s about the fact that he was up on the pipeline on the North Slope of Alaska when the Exxon Corporation executives were having a party because they just discovered the largest find of oil on the North American continent, and we were now oil independent. And within 24 hours, those wells were capped, and every Exxon official was told that they better keep their mouth shut, and they closed the whole thing down.
Yep.
Okay? So that's the kind of bullshit that goes on by this so-called government telling us one thing when the reality is completely different. Our people should have been waking up by the droves. What's wrong with our people that they can't smell a rat when a rat's in the room? I mean, there's something fundamentally wrong when you cannot perceive the fact that you've got somebody lying to you and deceiving you over and over and over.
I'll make a suggestion. The indoctrination that we all went through the public school system contributed heavily to that.
Big time.
Amen. I have to agree with that. The public school system is an absolute atrocious failure.
Yep.
And speaking of that, let me read you a quote. This is by our famous Jewish Karl Marx, the Kike Bolshevik Jew, in his Communist Manifesto. The tenth plank of that Communist Manifesto says, "The education of all children from the moment that they can get along without a mother's care shall be in state institutions at state expense."
Yep.
So my question is, when were Americans ever going to wake up that you had communists running this country? Communists have been running this country for quite some time.
Right. Absolutely. It's insidious. Wow. Nobody. Say something, Dan.
Here's my frustration. My frustration is, when I started the radio show 20 years ago, I knew we were in trouble. I knew it. And to be honest with you, I thought we would have reached the wall by now. So hold on just a second. The fact that we're still here, I'm actually amazed, to be quite honest. But what really frustrates me is I'm not the only watchman that's been talking this way for two decades.
Well, I can't imagine your frustration. I just can't, because, wow. Just,
you know, people like Alex Jones and Rush Limbaugh are multimillionaires.
Yeah, right.
With listening audiences in the tens of millions.
Because they're shills.
Yep. How come Rush Limbaugh almost never talks about immigration? They're just slowly talking about it. How come they never do?
Yeah, and of course, our friend Mr. Jones, isn't he the one that says 95% of Hollywood is owned by the Muslims?
Oh, I gave up Alex Jones a long time ago.
Yeah, I found out.
He's just the stepping stone. I followed Alex Jones for about 3 weeks, and then I saw a YouTube video where he actually had as a guest, and I'm not a super fan of David Duke. You mentioned him earlier, but he does, you know, has a good understanding of the JQ. I saw a YouTube video where Alex Jones had David Duke as his guest for about an hour, and Duke absolutely annihilated him. That's when I woke up a lot more to the Jewish question, and that's when I closed out Alex Jones. Duke did that for me. And then I started listening to David Duke quite a bit on the Rents Network, and I think he comes on at like 11 a.m. in the mornings, and I listened to him for almost a year, almost every morning, and he just got kind of repetitious, and he just doesn't understand the Bible at all. And when I started understanding identity, it really started to turn me off. So, but, you know, you take, like you always say, Dan, you take the good. You know, everybody's got something to contribute, and not everybody's right on everything, and he certainly doesn't understand the Bible. He understands the Jewish question pretty well, so I take what I can from him, and I moved along, and you just keep progressing that way. That's the only thing you can do.
That's why I send out a lot of information by books. For some reason, the Spirit's been leading.
Have you read all the books that you send me links to? Because I don't know how you can do it.
Well, I've read a lot of them. I've read actually a lot more than that list has. That's the list of what I think's pertinent. I've read probably thousands of books over my lifetime, but these are the ones I think are the most pertinent for today. Now, some of them, I don't have time to read them all word for word. Some of them I go through and do what I call a scan.
Yep.
Because I know the author. I've read other books by the author, so I know who the author is and what the author's points are, and so I promote their books
right
once I've scanned them. Okay, but one of the books I came across, and again, it's like the Father's putting these in my lap. I'll be looking for some other author or another book, and all of a sudden a suggestion will pop up, or I'll read a link by the author to somebody they think's good, and I'll go look, and I'll go, holy cow, here's another one. Just like today, this morning, right before the show, I found out there's a guy named Greg Holt who wrote a book, Spiritual Darkness is Destroying America and the Church. I said, holy cow. So there are people who are getting it. We still have to work day in and day out, as long as Yahweh gives us an opportunity to get as much truth out there as we can. We have to do that.
Yeah.
But it is frustrating as hell to be sitting here with all of the tools that people have today, all this electronic technology, that if they wanted to know the truth,
it's easy
it's
to get.
It's right there in front of their face.
It's the easiest time to get it.
Yep. How few want that truth? How few?
Absolutely. Hey, Dan, I'm reading a book right now that I got from one of your recommendations, Tracing Our Ancestry by Frederick Haberman.
Yeah, that's an excellent book.
Yeah. I'll tell you, it is not an easy read. I mean, every paragraph has, I mean, because it's, you know, because we've had so many different names in different areas, and, you know, our people have been called so many. You read one paragraph, and it's just, it takes a while to absorb, because there's so many new names that you've never heard of that we've been called Israelites. It's just, it's a slow read. I'm taking my time with it, because it's not an easy book to read, as far as I'm concerned, because he's throwing a lot of new information at you. But it's, I do want to ask you one thing about him. It seems to me he doesn't really elaborate in depth on this, but I'm 3/4 of the way through this book right now, and my impression is that he's right on the money about so much, but it seems to me that he believes that the Jews are part of Israel, or part of Judah anyway.
Well, that's the same problem that Stephen Collins, the archaeologist from Michigan that wrote the 6 books on the history of the Israelites, I think they're excellent, some of the best I've read. However, and I've told people this, you got to have a little discernment, because some of these authors could not get their books published if they outed the Jews for who they really are.
True.
And so they'll acquiesce, just like Jim Nelson did with his book, When Nations Die. The last chapter in his book, I just put a great big black X on every page of it, because it was his ass-kissing of the Jew to get his book published.
You
take the last chapter of that whole book and just throw it away. It's useless. But every chapter up to that is excellent. Well, a lot of these guys follow British Israelism.
That's what I was just going to say.
Yeah, the problem with British Israelism is they say Judah is the Jews. Well, that's just not true. That's patently false.
That seems to be where Haberman's perspective came from, too, in a lot of what he's saying,
Yeah, well, it's like I tell folks, you got to have a little discernment. Do what the Bible says. The Bible says, accept all things and keep that which is good. That basically means that I gave you a brain and I gave you a Holy Spirit and discernment. You can take all this information, now sift out, or as some people say, eat the meat and spit out the bones. Okay?
Sure.
You eat that big piece of fish, but you got to know enough not to swallow the bones. You got to spit the bones out. They're useless. Well, guys like Haberman and Collins, when they write, they're going to give you 95% super accurate, good historical information.
Exactly.
That other 5% you spit out.
Exactly. Yep. And that's I was just going to say that 95%, that would be the same number that I would have put on what I'm absorbing as I'm reading that book. About 5% of it, I'm like, no, just chuck that aside, because I think I know better.
Yeah, even the scriptures, when you're reading Paul, there's a lot of times the things says, I just throw it out.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you're reading a book that has 95% excellent truth and knowledge and 5% shit, why would you stop reading it?
Exactly.
That's why I'm going through it.
Exactly.
It's just amazing. And you were talking about Iran earlier. Iran seems to be the place where we started from. I mean, obviously they're Aryans.
They're Aryans. Well, if you read, I'm reading a book right now about the literature of Gandhari, which is what the northwestern portion of India was called in ancient times, and it was our people. That's where the home of Sanskrit, which is an ancient Indo-European alphabet, Sanskrit started there, and all of the original texts of Buddha were in Sanskrit.
Yep.
Okay, well, who was Buddha? Buddha was an Aryan. So was Confucius.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that whole region was dominated by our people in ancient times.
Every civilization got civilized by white people.
Amen. That's what you find out. The more historical books I read, that's what you find out.
Right. And then what happens is this history keeps repeating itself. You see the same pattern of whites creating everything in civilization throughout the entirety of the world, getting complacent, and then importing non-white populations to do labor and maybe even slave labor, whatever, and then you have a natural increase of non-white numbers. You get the integration, you get the decline of the original white birth rate, and ultimately the extinction of the people, and they're gone. And then you look at that same area in the world, and whatever country it's called now, and you think that forever, the dark-skinned people that populate that area now must have always inhabited that area. Not true.
Right.
So that's what I'm getting.
Yeah. Charles Murray, our brother. Oh, by the way, our brother Michael that's on here a lot from South Carolina was in a very bad auto accident the other day.
Oh, so no.
Keep him in your prayers. He's not hurt bad. His truck was totaled. And I have not heard from him since the other night when he said I guess he was at the hospital. So keep Brother Mike in your prayers. But anyway, Brother Mike talks about this book quite a bit. Charles Murray wrote a book years ago called Human Accomplishment. And it's kind of a research-type book, so it's not like enjoyable reading. But it basically goes through the accomplishments of mankind. And you're going to find that 98 to 99% of what we call civilization was created by white people.
Oh, sure.
And then he wrote another book, which was released, and it's actually coming out this month. This month he has a book called Human Diversity, The Biology of Gender, Race, and Class. So look up the books of Charles Murray, and you'll have quite an education about the truth of who we are, how we got here, and the racial issue.
Yeah. I think all other races, I would even include China here, without the white influence, they'd still be living in primitive conditions. For God's sake, beavers have more advanced housing than Negroes.
Well, oh God!
I've never
heard that. But you know what? To be quite honest, if you look at the pictures of the huts in Africa where white men haven't had much influence, and you look at a beaver's dam,
really? I mean, think about it.
Oh God, you got me off track. I had something I was going to say, and now I'm completely derailed.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's a good one, man.
Well, you know, again, there's a purpose for everything under heaven, okay? And that's what people have to understand. That we don't want to demean anybody, but to say that we're all exactly the same is just ludicrous.
No.
We're not.
That's why they want us all to believe.
And Adam was put here for a purpose, and it was to administer this world, because under Yahweh's law, everybody, and that means everybody, will be blessed. And we have failed at that. We've allowed these alien creatures to take control and persuade us to be more like them than instead of our Heavenly Father. And the whole world suffers because of that. Because right now, money is God.
Yep.
And the people that control money, whether people want to hear it or not, are Jews. Jews control the money. And the reason we're going after these Middle Eastern countries is because they are the last remaining nations on earth that have refused a central Jewish bank.
Yep. It's so clear and obvious. Man,
yeah. It's obvious if you have an open mind.
Yeah.
It's not so obvious if you're a brain-dead moron that thinks that you're going to get the truth off of that flat screen. I'm sorry, but you're not.
These people today, they walk around, they're like zombies, I swear. They are zombies. They go to their job, they do their job, they come home, they put on CNN, and the TV tells them what to think, and they go to work the next day and repeat the process. Unbelievable.
I've
had a conversation with one of them someday.
I've
read it a couple of times.
Yeah, I worked with a great big guy from Alaska. He won the amateur boxing contest up there back when he was a young man. But we used to make fun of him because his daily routine was to work at the plant, go home and get on the computer and do everything virtual reality until it was time for bed. Then he'd go to bed, get up, and start it all over again.
Literally.
Oh. And then there was a whole group of guys that were in their 30s sitting at the desks looking up parts and work orders and things, and they're all yakking back and forth, and I come walking in, and I said, what the hell are you guys talking about? And it was Call of Duty? I think it's the interactive game.
Yeah,
they were talking about how they play Call of Duty from the time they get done with their dinner when they get home until it's bedtime. Every night. Every night.
So pathetic.
How do you educate people that do such things? How do you educate?
I don't know what the draw is to that kind of stuff. It's just, I guess it's addicting. I've never in my entire life played any of those kind of games, whatever you call them.
No, I haven't either. My
Not
kids tried to teach me how
time.
To use the joysticks or whatever you call it, the place. I'm not going to sit here the time it takes to learn how to do this. I'm not going to do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know what I say?
I bet you Tommy's done it a couple of times. Come on,
Tommy.
Listen.
I'm guilty as charged. but I'm not
brain dead. That's why he was silent, Dan. I knew it.
But I'm not brain dead to know. Like, I have my times where I have some fun, and then a lot of times I'm just focusing on prepping.
Tommy,
and, you
know,
we're just saying. No. I totally get that. My parents too. They've never given a damn about games whatsoever. Never. They just we don't care about that.
Hey.
And which is perfectly cool. I mean, it's like I know some people even in my generation that hate games, and they're just that's totally fine. I think it's good to have a good balance of things because one guy I work with, he's only 22. That's literally all he does when he gets home. Literally just hops on Fortnite or whatever it is, and I'm like, dude, go get your license and go drive around. I'm telling you, you'll have a lot of fun. You know, play your game, but just a little bit. You know, lessen up on that. It's not good.
Yeah, Tom, that's a good point, Tommy, because I've got one of my sons. He plays games as a form of relaxing, and he's one of us, okay?
Oh,
He's 100% one of us on the biblical and on the political side. So I'm not trying to say game playing is automatically going to make you an idiot. I'm just saying that so many of our people are wrapped up. Well, here's a case in point. Now, this is kind of funny. But the guy I was just talking about that would go home every night, one day he was in the shop with us, and he was bitching about the fact he didn't have a girlfriend. Because, you know, he was in his late 20s. He was in his late 20s at this point. So his name was Fred, and I walked up to him, and I said, Fred, I said, unless you're going to find a computer program out there that you can buy that has sex with you on the computer, you're never going to know what it's like to have a female. I said, because you don't get off your ass and go out into the real world.
Well, that's the kind of guy who would probably prefer to have a robot for a girlfriend.
Well, at this point in time, I would not be shocked to see that he's got one of those Japanese lifelike.
That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly
sex
what I'm talking
robots.
About.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
I read there was a poll recently done. I may be off a few percent here. They interviewed or polled people from the age, I think it was between 18 and 35, something. I could be off by a few years. And the question was essentially, would you consider settling down for the rest of your life with a, you know, a sex bot as your partner? And 25% of the people said yes.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
That just shocked the hell out of me. A freaking robot for sex.
Well, we're being conditioned.
They never say no, Dan, though. You know, I guess there's advantages.
Well, it's more of this, like Tommy was saying, it's more of this idea that we've become so soft that we want it our way, and we want it that way so bad, and we don't want to ever have any confrontations or actually have to work for anything, that when somebody offers an easy way out like that, a lot of people will take it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and here's pretty much the sobering solution to things, or not solution, but here's the thing that's going to break people out of this spell, is when the power goes down, like I keep saying, when that power goes down in most places, that's when people are going to be forced to wake up.
Oh, yeah, no more virtual reality.
Yep.
No more,
they're going to be forced to wake up, and they're going to be forced, the brainwashing will wear off. After a certain amount of time, it does wear off. And then they're going to start seeing the world for what it really is. And at that point, that's when people are going to start demanding their freedom back.
Yeah.
So
they might even look up into the sky.
Yeah. That's why I'm looking at, I'm like, you know what? It's all this disgusting stuff. And I keep watching it. And I'm like, I can hear the father telling me, it's coming. Don't worry. It's coming. Don't worry. Just focus on preparing. Just focus on preparing. Enjoy your time while you can, because when it comes, everything changes.
Hey, can I? Yeah. I don't want to change the subject, and just a quick response from either one of you guys or both of you on one other thing occurring right now. I'm sure you've seen what's going on in Australia.
The fires. I heard about that.
I've never seen anything of that magnitude ever. I think that's the most insidious, crazy. I guess it's all based on the privatization of water. I mean, they seem to be purposely burning up the entire continent. Wow.
Yeah, it's well. Go.
It's like hell.
It's California all over.
It's like California.
Go watch the Crow House.
It's way worse than California.
Yeah, look at the YouTube channel of the Crow House, which is Max.
That's
Max
where I saw
Ingen.
It. That's where I saw it.
Yeah, yep. Max Egan does a great reporting of that. By the way, one of our listeners from Canada just put in some great links here. This week, there's another YouTube channel called The Corbett Report, Corbett, The Corbett Report. And listen to the description. Now, I'm going to be sure to watch it because this guy is dead on.
Oh, he is good.
This is the description of one of the shows. They walk amongst us. On the outside, they're just like you and me. But on the inside, they are unfeeling automatons who care only for themselves. They are the psychopaths. They are in control of our governments, our corporations, our military, and all the positions of power. Join us this week on the Corbett Report as we delve into political ponderology, a diagnosis of our politicians, and a brief look at the bigger picture. Hallelujah.
Is that a follow-up to the early one that he did just like a week or so ago?
Yeah, well, he did it some time ago. It was episode 90. The psychopath. Our leaders are psychopaths. That's one of the best 1 hour videos I've ever watched.
Yeah, I did watch that.
Yeah, and that was some time ago. That was episode 90. But now he's got another one here called that's going to be on. We have talked about Edward Bernays, another Bolshevik Jew. And we know all about propaganda, but there's more to media control than corporate advertising. Public opinion and attitudes are shaped through the media we consume, from television and movies to books and music. Join us this week as we explore some of the TV shows and movies that are working to transform your conscious opinions and subconscious mind.
Yep.
Some of the best books that I've got on how the enemy works to brainwash us, so to speak, have come from links in the Corbett Report.
Yep.
So, especially about Edward Bernays, who was a Jew, much like Sigmund Freud, another Jew, and how people thought these guys were such brilliant individuals, and all they were was psychopath Bolsheviks trying to change the way we look at things and think.
You know the best example of brainwashing that I can think of?
What?
I think the perpetual books and movies about World War II and National Socialist Germany is the best example of how brainwashing can work on an entire nation of people. Look at how you talk to 100 Americans about World War II, and I guarantee you, if you're going to be lucky, if you find one who knows the truth about World War II.
Well, that's true. You're right. A lot of people
it's
don't know much about real history. Yeah.
And it's completely, the worst part of it, it's completely backwards, as usual. You know, Hitler, the most evil person who walked the planet, actually tried to save the entirety of Europe. And that leads me to something else I wanted to ask either one of you guys, because I'm not as familiar with this proprietarianism fellow named Doolittle. I haven't read very much by him. What does he have a big difference of opinion or separation, or what are his differences with National Socialism? Because in my opinion, if you want to implement something superb, I can't find too much fault with the National Socialist platform. What are the major differences between the two, or are there?
You want to answer that, Tommy?
This is just my opinion. Anything with the isms, obviously, than proprietarianism.
There you go.
Proprietarianism, and I've read it extensively, it protects the natural law. And I don't think it's any ism. It's just, it just means property. And property, it's extended. Property, it goes to your family's your property. A form of property is your neighborhood being a safe place. Like, in other words, if they put in all these urbanite blacks and they turn it to crap. So I don't think it's anything to do with national socialism at all. Because really, that was geared towards the Germany itself. That's just my understanding.
Don't you think every nation should be a nationalistic? We need to be separate nations, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a reason why Father Yahweh implemented borders.
Exactly. Exactly.
I think. Every country should have their own nationalistic way of doing things, whether they want to call it National Socialism, whether they want to call it proprietarianism, whatever they want to call it, but it should respect the individual rights. That's the bottom line. And the problem is Germany unfortunately fell out of that, and that's why they went a little rampant. If they respected that, I think they would have stayed around a lot longer. Because I think if they would have allowed the German people to just say, look, we don't want the whole damn world. Let's make Germany the best.
But they didn't want the whole world.
Let me interject here, because I've read both, okay? I've read all the stuff on proprietarianism, and I've read the platform of the National Socialist German Workers' Party, and I've studied World War II extensively. If there was a problem in Germany, it wasn't. Germany never planned on conquering the world. That's one of the myths. That's one of the myths of World War II that needs to be debunked. There was never a plan to conquer the world. What Germany was doing was simply implementing biblical law. If you read the platform of the National Socialist German Workers' Party, it reads like the Old Testament. And respecting property rights was high in National Socialism. Okay, now people have to understand, Marxism is not National Socialism. Okay, right. They're completely different. But Germany's problem was twofold. Germany's problem is they allowed the Jews to stay in Germany because there were Jews that were admirals, generals, ranking officers, foot soldiers. There were Jews still in banking, medicine, yep. and even part of the government, okay? Germany's problem is they did not remove the Jews from power. They removed some of them, but the agitators, the communists, and the revolutionaries, they put them into the work camps or sent them out of the country. But they did not tell the Jews to get the hell out of Germany. That was their biggest mistake. They allowed an enemy to stay within their borders. Number two, the Jews outside of Germany convinced all of the Allies that Germany was a problem simply because Germany would not acquiesce to the world Jewish demands. And they looked at Germany as a competitor on the economic front. That World War II was an economic war. It was a continuation of World War I.
It was
so
rough.
Germany's biggest problem was the Allies because they tried to make peace with the Allies over and over and over and over.
No question.
Germany did not want war with the Allies for the same reason Iran does not want to go to a confrontational war with America because they know they would lose. Germany was not stupid. They knew that a war with the Allies was dumb on two fronts. Number one, militarily, very difficult to win. Number two, believe it or not, Hitler understood that the Europeans and the Germans were kin. They were cousins.
Exactly. That's why he didn't want to kill all the Brits.
The problem is Americans and the British and the French to a degree, though there were a lot of Frenchmen who were on the German side. That's a part of World War II history that most people don't even know. In fact, do you know more Frenchmen died fighting for Germany than against Germany? That's a fact.
Really?
That one of the last SS units to die in World War II was the SS unit protecting Berlin at the end of the war, and it was all Frenchmen. All of them.
Wow.
Okay? That's a fact. So the point of it is, people have to want the truth, whether it hurts or not. And that's the greatest problem of our people, is they want only the truths that are comfortable. And they don't want to believe that they've been lied to and deceived. That they have to get over that. When you love the truth, you're willing to hurt. And let me tell you, since I came to identity, I've had to say I'm sorry to my Father in Heaven many times for some of the dumbass things I've done in my lifetime because I was ignorant of the truth. But I did not turn away from the truth. I accepted it. I realized I was wrong, and I promised never to teach a lie if I know it's a lie.
That's the mark of a true man. And that's I feel exactly the same way. I've said that on your show before, too. If you are not willing to admit you've been wrong about something and move on to the truth, then you're a fool and a fraud. And unfortunately, that's what most people do because the truth is very uncomfortable to them. But going back to what you were just, when you were just speaking of National Socialism and proprietarianism, a couple of things came to my mind. You've said this before about Hitler allowing Jews to stay in the country, and I know there were even some in the military. I understand that, but I don't know. It just seems to me that he was making a genuine, intense effort to clean the entire country of the vermin. And that's not to say that they were entirely out. He obviously felt that there were a handful, a very tiny percentage of Jews that could be trusted. I guess that's what you're saying is one of his mistakes. But and while you were talking, I was looking something up about Doolittle and Hitler. And I guess I'm just going to summarize this. he has, I guess what he has said about Hitler, because somebody must have asked him the same question I asked you guys. And his response about Hitler was, he said, and I disagree with this, because I've studied Hitler and National Socialism a lot. And I'm not saying I'm smarter than Doolittle, believe me. But his response to the question was that he felt that Hitler was anti-Marxism in public only. And I just don't agree with that. I just don't.
No, I don't. I have no clue. But what I understand is that I didn't even know about those facts that the Pastor Dan just talked about. So I'm totally willing to learn the truth of things. If
right.
I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If I don't know something.
So Dan and I, Tommy, yeah. Dan's probably studied it more than I, but in the last 4 to 5 years, I've spent as much time studying World War II as anybody.
Yeah.
So I think I could have I might be able to go toe-to-toe with Dan, maybe at this point. I'm not sure. Just on that issue, not identity and a lot of other things that Dan's so expertise at. But that comment by Doolittle to be, I don't know, almost like...
We're not always going to agree on everything, because he doesn't agree that the God's name is Yahweh. He agrees it's something different, which that's fine.
Oh, no, that's
I look at the commonality that we're all on the same side. We're going to have our differences. We're going to have our differences of opinion, that's totally cool.
No, the only point I was trying to... When I brought up the question and threw it to you guys, the only reason I did it is because, you know, proprietarianism sounds great, okay? It definitely does. And I haven't watched all of John Mark's videos, and I haven't read hardly anything by Doolittle. I'm going to admit that right up front.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know I've studied extensively National Socialism, and to me, that's a proven model that actually had worked. The only reason it was defeated, Dan pointed it out, I mean, Germany was up against the United States, Great Britain, and Russia. I don't know of any country that could have survived that.
Had
those three mega superpowers not combined to defeat Germany in World War II, I guarantee you right now, the entire globe, or the entire world, I should say, would probably be replicating National Socialism, because it works.
Hmm.
It's to the benefit of the people. Everybody makes out, except for the greedy capitalists. And
interestingly, you know, it was Karl Marx that came up with the terms capitalism and socialism.
Right.
It was a commie that came up with those terms.
Oh, sure.
A Talmudic Jew.
I'm as anti-capitalist as I am anti-communist now. I absolutely am.
Because I look at it this way, all these people call themselves capitalists, they're just as parasitic in many cases as the communists
are.
And this is a problem. A lot of people on the right think that, well, I'm a capitalist. Well, okay, so you're saying it's totally okay to go mess with someone's property as long as you make money?
Well, capitalism...
There's no difference then at that point. Yeah.
I read a book by John Paul... What's that economic... He worked in the Reagan administration. Help me, Dan.
Paul Craig Roberts.
I read a book by him recently. I can't remember the name of it, but he went into extensive talking about the reason this country is so frigged up today. These greedy capitalists offshoring all of our job, middle class jobs. He goes into all the details about that. So I am so anti-capitalism now. I mean, you see all these so-called not patriots, but a lot of people, right-wingers, so to speak, so proud of their capitalism. But capitalism and communism are two branches of
the
Judaism.
They're the same tree. Yep.
The Jews created both of them.
And interestingly enough, I learned that from Kurt Doolittle. So
right.
And you know, John Mark explains it in very simple terms, and I didn't really understand that until. So it's like we have to. If I talk to a leftist, who's asking questions, that means that they're they're asking questions for a reason. That means they're not fully radicalized left. That means they have they're legitimately trying to find out things, and they're actually, you know, intelligent people. I remember explaining to one person a little while back about that concept, and I says, well, the term capitalism and socialism really are made by the same people who control everything. I says, and if you think about it, you know, do we all need millions of dollars to live? No, we don't. You don't need it. It's nice to have, but who are you going to hurt to get that? And that's the problem. That's where capitalism has got its dirty word. It's got its dirty reputation.
National socialism prevented that too.
Yeah, so, and the thing is, what's nice about Kurt's constitution, that it gives options of the territories, that if they want to live under a monarchy, they can. If they want to live under the corporate Chinese model, like the one we have today, that's pretty much the corporate Chinese model. We can live under that. It gives options. If you read into his constitution there, because it's in a draft form right now, but you could still read the gist of it. It makes perfect sense. It gives choice. It's not just, this is the only way you're going to live and that's it. No, nobody wants it, because in my opinion, the Amish would want to live under a completely different system. They're self-sufficient. They are completely self-sufficient. They don't need some corporate bigwig to tell them how to live. They don't want that. And you know, there's people in more populated areas that like that. They like having a quote unquote representative to, you know, make them feel like they have some kind of representation. But these things will be available to do that. So that's the nice thing about it, is that not everyone wants to live under one kind of rule. They want their rights. Everyone wants their rights. It's restoring dueling. In other words, you wouldn't get charged with assault if someone called your wife a pig. You would challenge them to a duel at that point. And this was the old days. Back dueling solved more problems back then. I have a friend I haven't talked to in a long time, but he's from Alexandria, Egypt. He said that when they were boys, if they were to get into an altercation, the fathers, both of them, would bring them to the police chief. They would duke it out in front of the police chief, and then it ended there. They said, any more of that, then you're both going to jail. So, but they shook hands after. The dueling actually solved problems. It's interesting.
It's so like, is there not a monarchy?
No. Egypt, I'm not sure the kind of system they have today, but this was way back in the day. My friend, he's in his 50s now. But, you know, Muslim guy, but he doesn't really very much practice it. So he told me this a long time ago, and I'm like, And then Kurt Doolittle talks about dueling will be restored under proprietarianism. In other words, if we talk about the gun laws, well, Florida has Stand Your Ground. Well, inside Kurt's constitution, Stand Your Ground is in there. It's not even a separate law. It's in the constitution. Castle Doctrine is in the constitution. Someone makes a threat to you, it will be taken at face value. So they're going to say, well, I'm going to go mess with your wife later and do that to you later. Well, at that point, you have every single right to smoke this fool for making a threat. Not like today, you'd have to prove this person said this, but they were 10 feet away. They weren't a direct threat to you. Well, that should be taken at face value. That dueling, and dueling is always supervised, by the way. It does. There are specific rules in there that if you do duel, you can't kick to the head. You're not trying to kill each other. You're trying to solve a problem, because men were aggressive. We're not going to solve problems with a pen. It's a fact. Yeah. It's just a fact. A pen is, in my opinion, if you look at voting, look at what voting does. Voting, it's an act of violence. I mean, think about it. If a leftist person gets in, look at Virginia. All these leftists outvoted.
Yep.
And most likely cheated, the rest of the areas, and now they're voting to have the state put guns in their faces to steal their property. In my opinion, voting doesn't work. It should be done away with.
Clearly.
Well, the founding fathers never set up the kind of voting we have today anyway.
Yeah, they had peerage. They had to have I'm not sure how the founding fathers had it, but under Kurt's system, he says peerage will be restored, and that's in order to earn peerage, you have to own property, you have to have at least 3 children, you have to be married. So you have to have quite a bit of things, and most of us would I wouldn't be able to vote, and I don't care. I don't care about voting. I just want my damn rights. That's it. Leave my rights alone. I don't have to vote on anything. I shouldn't have to wait for legislators to say, yeah, we're going to lower your taxes now. Or, yeah, we're going to restore the, concealed carry or something like that. No, that should never have been a problem in the first place.
Right.
Well, final question for Deanne, I guess, or Tom. Is there or is there not a monarchy in the proprietarianism model?
There is.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a choice under there. There's, I think he gives 6 or 7 different types of systems that a territory can pick.
There's no, to me, you have to have a monarchy.
Honestly, I really think so. I mean, I think instead of having government where a cop thinks they pretty much have more control over you, well, under a monarchy, everybody's completely equal at that point in terms of the law. In terms of the law, everyone is under the same law. There is no, because I wear a badge, I can go carry a machine gun, but you can't. No. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
And that's where Kurt does away with all that stuff. And this is beautiful. He gives choice because people like choice. And if a territory that's, say, maybe 10,000 population, well, they're going to probably want to live under a monarch. All they have to do is follow the Constitution. The monarch enforces the Constitution, and the magistrates, whatever they have there, are the people who are going to be the arbiters at that point and say, well, was reciprocity violated, yes or no? And if it was, the person who violated reciprocity is going to pay restitution to the victim.
Right.
You sound like a Doolittle disciple.
I listen to a lot of John Mark and Kurt Doolittle, but it makes sense. To me, it makes logical sense, and that's why I like it, because it's a long-term solution. It's not just let's fight it out and then let's throw the chips up in the air and go back to the same nonsense. No, we can't afford that anymore.
That's when I first brought this into the conversation. My only reason for doing so is it's just my own thinking, my own personal opinion.
Yeah.
I only brought it up and only said it is because it sounds good, okay, proprietarianism. I can't say that I've studied it like you guys have, but I do know that we have a model of something that actually did work. And anybody that takes the time to study it can see that National Socialism was, as Dan said, it was as Christian as anything, and it worked. It was... What did they call what Hitler did from 1933 to 1936? They called it a miracle. Okay?
Yeah, that's why he was on the cover of Time magazine in 1938 as Time magazine's Man of the Year.
Exactly. Wow. And you know what else, Dan? You know what else, taking this into a slightly different direction? If you think about it, the defeat and destruction of National Socialism in Germany, it's not just the defeat in the war, but the annihilation of the country itself post-war. And then the subsequent indoctrination and propaganda about the war, the lies about the war, I think that's maybe the biggest reason the Anglo-Saxon race has lost our identity. If you really think about what I just said, If those lies about that Germany was the evil one, and what we the United States and Britain, so the Allies, what we did to them, we taught them a lesson, and how we've been propagandized ever since with the movies and the books. If that hadn't taken place, and Germany wasn't destroyed in that war. I mean, I don't think white people today would be so cucked and so Judified and so, I think we would have still had our identity. I really do. That's my belief.
That's why the Jews pulled out all the stops to destroy Germany.
Exactly. And they've been so relentless at it. It never stopped. You still see it. They know how many years have passed since 1945? 80 years.
Over 60 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. 70 years, whatever. And they're still pushing it.
How long has it been since Genesis chapter 3, verse 15?
Thousands of years.
All right. That's the same enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. That war has been going on since the book of Genesis.
Right.
Okay. It's never going to end. That's why Esau hated Jacob.
Right.
Or I should say, Jacob. He hated Jacob for the same reason. All right. It's enmity between the children of the Most High and the seed of the serpent. It's whether you want to call it spiritual or literal, it applies to both because there's a literal seed and it's a spiritual thing. Both of them. By the way, when you guys are talking about either National Socialism's platform or proprietarianism, do you know what the common denominator that makes them both work is?
Tell us.
They're both based on the Bible.
Bingo. Yeah.
Christianity. Not Judeo-Christianity.
Not Judeo. No, we're not Judeo. True Judeo-Christianity is a curse upon the white man.
It's a feminized version of Christianity.
Absolutely.
That's what's been watered down.
Perfect word for it, effeminized.
It's feminized. And I learned that from Kurt Doolittle because he explains it. He did a lot of testing. In other words, he would throw out questions that would piss off Christians. And something in the back told me, he says, let's see what he says, because my gut tells me he's not anti-Christian at all. He's not an atheist at all. And he did explain this in a few interviews, one with John Mark. And he says he respects Christianity for what it was supposed to be, and it's been turned into cult Christianity. He says,
absolutely.
And Henry, if you look on a video, go on to the Proprietarian Institute on YouTube, And he has one of his most recent videos called A Letter to Christians. It's about a half hour long. And he explains how he's not anti-Christian at all. He wants to restore the masculine Christianity, and this is what will say, this is what will help save Western civilization. And he actually wants to make Christianity as the state's religion, pretty much, as what most of the as what they was back in the old days.
Yeah, primitive Christianity.
Yep. So when I heard that, I'm like, I was right about the guy. He's not anti-Christian. He bashes the feminine Christianity. He bashes that hard. He calls it Abrahamism, and that's actually from Judaism. He harps on Judaism all the time in Islam. He says Judaism, Islam, and Christianity, and he says this is what controlled the world. This is what the Dark Ages was. And the problem is they made false promises. Abrahamism really starts from Judaism. He said in proprietarianism, Judaism and Islam are out. They're out. If they want to stay, they're going to pay 30% tax. If they want to stay, then you know what they're going to do? They're going to self-deport. They're not going to stay. Because I'm not paying 30% tax just to keep my temple or my mosque up. Nope, out of here. And that says that's brilliant. We don't have to do anything bad to them. Tax them. That's what they do to us right now. They tax us for breathing. So, you know what? I say do to them what they were doing to us for 100 years through the Federal Reserve. Let them go back to the Middle East and kill each other. We want no part of it.
Yeah, that's it. Well, go back to the Monroe Doctrine. Stay the hell out of these entanglements
in foreign
countries.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I'm telling you, if you read through where it comes to, I think where it says the territories and stuff like that too, it explains this quite extensively. So some people on the right are going to have a problem with the part of taxing 30%. Most won't. I'm telling you right now, most are going to be like, yes, please get the Muslims out of here. Please get the Jews out of here. Because most of the people on the right understand what the real problems are. You're going to have some of them like, I fought in the military, I'm a Jew, and who cares, dude? Like you're. It's like big deal. Then stop with the Judaism. Judaism's of the devil.
Yeah.
It really is.
The Talmud. Just you know, people talk about Judaism is where Christianity came from, which is a complete lie.
No.
And they wonder why we have some of the draconian things going on today. But if you look through the Talmud, which is their actual holy book, not the Bible, mm-hmm. the Talmud is where abortion and all of these draconian things that we're doing today come from.
Yeah.
That's straight out of the Talmud.
It's completely contradictory to Yahweh's natural law.
That's right.
And Kurt Doolittle says this. He says Christianity is 100% compatible with natural law. He breaks it down into the logical science terms because the right wing have never had the terms for it. We would just say, God said this. Well, there's people who don't believe but are right wing, and they understand like we understand things. They don't have the religious terms of things, which is fine. You can get them later on. The way I look at it is I was once an atheist in high school. Yahweh came to me.
Yep.
So I'm...
I think I know what you're saying. Yeah, you don't have to know. You don't have to be familiar with the Christian lingo to be a true Christian.
No, I was my wife had an issue with that too at first, and I'm like, you gotta stop with the. It has to said of the Bible itself. It says, well, look at what the Bible tells us to do, how to live. It tells us to follow natural law.
Yeah, right.
And then once you start to look at things that way. And understand what Kurt Doolittle's been saying. I says, yeah, a lot of people don't like Kurt Doolittle because this guy does his homework and then some. He's not 100% correct, but he's pretty darn on point on most things.
You know,
I'm like,
here's a good point to bring up to people. You know, that get involved in this discussion. Natural law is the law of our Heavenly Father, okay?
Bingo.
In fact, there's a good book called Signature in the Cell, DNA Evidence for Intelligent Design by Stephen Meyer, who's a PhD.
Yep.
Okay, mm-hmm. he wrote other books too, but that's a really good one because the scientific community is now acknowledging intelligent design, which acknowledges our Father. But here's the point I want people to understand. How long have we had the Bible? I'm asking you guys. How long has the Bible been around?
Hundreds of years.
A couple hundred books. A couple hundred years, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Who decided what was going to be in the Bible?
Jews.
Well, not, they didn't call themselves Jews. They called themselves Roman Catholics.
All right, right.
Okay. Who runs the Roman Catholic Church?
Jews. So
let me ask you a question. What did our ancestors do before the Jewish Roman Catholic Church gave us this thing we call the Bible? What did our people do?
They didn't read the Bible because they didn't have it. They just followed the natural law.
Amen, brother. They followed the natural law. What does it say even in the scriptures that they did translate? They got that part right. What's it say? He wrote the laws on their hearts. It's called
Amen.
A conscience.
Yes.
Psychopaths are not us. Psychopaths are alien creatures. And we can debate for the next 20 years where they come from. I don't give a damn.
Yeah,
the point of it is they are alien to our culture. We have to understand that there are people in shoe leather who do not possess the natural laws on their hearts. They are psychopaths.
It's in their DNA, I think.
Exactly. So part of the reason we have been captured is because we make the assumption everything in shoe leather is just like us. That's
right.
Wrong.
Totally wrong.
Even in the corrupted Bible scriptures, it says there are wolves in sheep's clothing.
Yeah,
Let me ask you guys, I grew up on a farm. Can you tell the difference between a wolf and a sheep?
Absolutely.
Do they behave the same way?
Not at all.
If you put a wolf in amongst a bunch of sheep, who gets hurt?
The sheep.
So if you got a wolf who's in sheep's clothing, what is that scripture trying to tell you? You've got people whose insides, you got people who on the inside aren't anything like you. But on the outside, they look like you.
The ultimate deceivers.
Exactly.
Like
you have aliens.
Collectively.
You have psychopaths walking amongst you.
Right. I call them collective Satan.
Well, they are adversaries. That's what the word means, adversaries.
Well, the synagogue.
I know that there's such a being as Satan, an individual entity, but I think of the Jewish race as collectively as, well, let me put it this way. I think of the Jewish people as collectively as Satan's agents.
Yes.
Well, what did the Apostle John say? There are many antichrists already here.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There wasn't just one. He didn't say, hey, look, over there is the fallen angel Lucifer. No, he said, there are many antichrists, and they're already here.
Right. People are always wanting to name the new antichrist. Oh, that's been going on for decades. It's the Pope.
It's a diversion.
They had Stalin. They had Mao. They had all these people. And it's like, well, how can there was only supposed to be one? Like, no, there's never just going to be one. And there's going to be one later on that's going to try to be the head of all of them.
Let me ask a question. Doesn't the Bible say that we, his sons and daughters, are the many-membered body of Christ?
Yep.
So don't we collectively represent him here on this earth?
Yep.
So why wouldn't the Antichrist collectively have cells that represent him on this earth?
Exactly.
Yep.
So that's exactly what's happening. They are the Antichrist operating as Lucifer amongst us.
Yep. And they're winning right now.
Because of deception.
Well, they think they're winning, but what they're doing is they're sowing their demise. Because when they don't seem to understand that they got Trump to do exactly what he ran against on, and now his own base is going to turn on him when things get bad. When it hits here, when they take out the power, he's going to get blamed for it.
When I say that they're winning, I mean that they're winning in the sense that they're through their Judeo-Christian preachers and many other means.
The good news is that there's a lot more people joining our ranks because they understand that they can't tell half their friends whether they voted for Trump or Hillary. It doesn't really matter. A lot of them are still stuck in that old paradigm that somebody you vote for is going to change things. It's not. It's just going to make it worse. They're all controlled by the same masters. And when all of us, the true right-wingers, we're just like, we're already done with the political solutions. We already have a solution to implement as soon as this old guard falls, and it will fall, because Yahweh has decreed it will fall.
Because
it will fall. That's why I'm like, I have hope. It's going to fall. I think it's going to start this year. It may not completely fall this year, but it's going to start this year, and that's where a lot of the real patriots are going to come out of the woodwork, and they're going to be like, We don't believe whoever party is. We're just going to wait for things to collapse. We have the system ready to go. We need that. We need the system to collapse first, and that's what's going to happen. We're not going to vote our way into proprietarianism. No way. No way. And you know, John Mark explained this too in his New Year's video. He's like, people keep trying to tell me we're going to vote. Of course not. We're not going. There's no way we're going to do it in this corrupt system. We know there's going to be a shakeout, but you know, we're planning on. They're trying to popularize it, and I think even just enough popularity of it, when you come to people and say, look, we have a permanent solution to things, we take the good out of the old Constitution and update it. That's pretty much what it is. It's the good out of the old Constitution, minus the slavery. Slavery's done. Like, that's not going to happen either. That was the biggest mistake the Founding Fathers, in my personal opinion, did. They took blacks, which now, unfortunately, they're Americans, so now we have this leftism in this country because of them, too.
Well,
so, and that's a problem.
That's not totally true, Tommy.
No.
Nobody had a right to make a non-white a citizen.
No, exactly. And that was the problem, is they should have sent them back when they had the chance. They should have sent them back to, you know, to Africa. I'm nothing against blacks in and of a general, but most blacks vote left. You're never going to change that. That's in their genetics, unfortunately. I know a lot of good blacks that are right wingers, but there's only maybe about 15 to 20% of them. And unfortunately, it's hard to detect who is who. So it has nothing to do with their skin color whatsoever. It's just their culture is completely different.
Well, John Jay in Federalist Paper number 2 makes it crystal clear who the people of the Constitution were and the country. Yeah. And it's the Anglo-Saxon Europeans. That's it. This country was founded for them, and the laws pertain to them and protect the rights of them and nobody else. Now, that doesn't mean we have the right to abuse anybody and that we're not going to stick up for their natural rights. Of course, you ask my neighbors. I got lots of, especially down here in Florida, white people are less than 10% now.
Yeah.
So in South Florida, I've got a lot of non-white neighbors, and I get along with all of them as long as they respect propertarianism and the law of reciprocity. We get along fine.
Yeah, okay. And here's the best part. There was one guy who asked Kurt Doolittle. He said he was in the Marines, and he says, you know, in honesty, is propertarianism going to throw out Don White? And he says blatantly no. And he says he was going to get a lot of flack from the white nationalist group. And he's like, no, we're not intending on throwing people out. What we're trying to stop is parasitic behavior.
Right.
If you behave like a parasite, you're out. Bottom line.
Right.
If you behave like a normal human being, a good honest human being, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal. We don't care what skin color you are. We don't care.
Bottom line is
don't sit here and try to use the government to get free stuff from people who work. Parasitism. Welfare.
How right. That's why
there's so much tension is because you find predominantly non-whites generally are on social services. Generally, there's always the exception to the rules. A lot of whites too. They're parasites as well. But the reality is that if you make the behavior illegal, they're not going to be able to get away with it. So that's where. I have nothing against non-whites whatsoever.
Well, what does propertarianism say about race mixing, or does it?
It doesn't say really anything about that, in my honest opinion.
It's kind of important. I think it's important.
In my opinion, I think it should be up to the territories to decide those things. I think because there's a lot of territories that are mixed, urban areas, so you can't really tell everybody that. I think that's just going to go down to a cultural thing.
But it goes against Yahweh's natural order.
I believe so as well. However, it's unfortunately the population. It's hard to tell tens of millions.
I know. We made this bed. Now we got to kind of live with it.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
I think eventually a lot of cultures are going to want to self-deport back to their countries.
I think
settle down.
I think you can't. Obviously, you can't deport all the blacks and Mexicans.
But you won't have to.
You have to have laws. I think you have to have laws that go back to laws that we had not that long ago. Where Dan, correct me if I'm wrong, but a black and a white getting together. How long ago was that? That was illegal. Not that in our lifetime, I believe.
Yeah, it was. That's where marriage licenses first came from. You had to get a license to do what was otherwise immoral from the state.
Exactly.
The license to get married was when a white wanted to marry a black. It was illegal to do that.
And I think that needs to be reinstituted.
So even as a child, everybody where I grew up, every elder, everybody in the community knew that that was unlawful.
We're going to have a sustainable society that flourishes. That has to stop. Has to.
Well,
if that's not in the platform, I think it needs to be addressed.
Nature will put an end to it if you stop interfering with nature.
Right.
Okay.
Most
race mixed couples and their children survive today because of modern medicine. In the old days, they would have died natural aborted births.
Yep.
Sure.
Okay. There's even the United States military used to give a paper out to the GIs back in the 1900s, the early 1900s, that explained that while you're overseas on duty, if you decide to get a non-white wife, here are the consequences, and part of the consequences was either a rough pregnancy or stillborn child. Because even in the cattle, when I talked to ranchers up in Michigan one time, they tried to argue about, I said that mixing the breed of cattle was wrong. They started to argue with me, and I said, well, I'm sorry, but you're not allowed to mongrelize anything. God created everything the way he wanted it to stay. And when you play God by mixing artificially inseminating cattle, you are playing God.
Yeah,
and
cloning too.
And the one rancher looked at me and he says, my God, Dan, he goes, maybe you got a point. And I said, why is that? He says, well, when we artificially inseminate our cattle, when the heifer is ready to give birth to the calf, we have to go out at night in our Jeeps and sit there and wait for the delivery, because if we're not there to assist the calf, it will die at birth. So right there, they admitted that if it weren't for them interfering, nature would have eliminated that half-breed calf from being born. See? So it's our ignorance. It's our believing we have the right to play God simply because we get away with it. We're not. When you're playing God, okay? When I was a boy on the ranch, nobody in his right mind would have spent the night out on the pasture field waiting for a calf to be born. That of it, you got laughed out of the county, because we didn't interbreed our cattle.
Yeah.
Okay. Because if you wanted a better milk cow, then buy a Guernsey. Okay. If you wanted a beef cow, you got an Angus. But you don't mix the two so that you can have milk and beef. You see what I'm saying? It's stupid. Yeah. So
I had no clue about the different variants of animals, like of farm animals like that.
Oh, absolutely. I had my grandfather on my father's side had a beef ranch. It was all blackface Angus. My other grandfather was a dairyman, and he had all Guernseys. Okay, because they give the most milk, so he had Guernseys, and they mixed with each other. He didn't have to go out there and nursemaid the calf being born, and neither did my other grandfather with the beef cattle. They all had their calves, and it was perfectly fine, because they didn't get involved in this idiotic idea that you can mix breeds.
Yep.
It's stupid.
Yeah. I've noticed. I mean, you look at crime statistics. I mean, You look at all the heinous crimes committed by many people, and a lot of times you're finding it's generally non-white or generally mixed, and it's not always the case, of course, but the percentages are much higher.
If people knew the actual true statistics about especially violent crime, it's not talked about in the news. In fact, they do quite the opposite. Every time the isolated case of a white on black crime occurs, you hear about it endlessly. The fact of the matter is, I think it's about 12 or 15 times more likely for a black to commit a violent crime on a white. It's just fact. I mean,
there was one recently where some black woman killed a white child, and she said it was because the kid was white.
Yeah,
just absolutely sick.
Yeah.
Let me give you a book. There's a small book that completely documents what you guys are talking about. I read it many years ago by Charles Weissman up in Minnesota. It's called Anthology of Racial Issues.
Huh.
And it's a very researched little book where he has footnotes going back to scientific studies that are talking about the very things you two guys are talking about. That's where I first learned that most violent criminals are mixed blood. And when I first read the book and the internet was first coming online, I went ahead to several of the states near where I lived and I looked up the 20 most wanted violent criminals for things like murder and rape.
Mm-hmm.
19 of the 20 were mixed breed. You could see it.
Oh, my God.
19 of the 20 violent criminals were all mixed breed, exactly what that book talked about, the scientific studies say. When you mix breeds, it creates schizophrenia, paranoia, and violent behavior. It's just a fact. It's why the Bible calls it a plague. It's not by accident that it calls it a plague. So if you think about 19 out of 20. So you're talking almost 95% of violent crime is because you violated the law. You allowed race mixing to go on. The Bible calls it a plague. And it is a plague. Think about it. How much crime? That 95% of your violent criminals should not even exist.
Yeah.
So if you obeyed and enforced God's law, 95% reduction in violent crime would happen instantly. Think about that.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to look up that book.
It's an excellent book. It's a short read. It's only probably about 100 pages, maybe 110 pages. But Charles Weissman's one of my favorite authors because he doesn't mince words, and he's a good author. He does a lot of great research. But Anthology of Racial Issues is one of the best little books that just puts the whole mixing to bed.
Wow.
If you want to get into the biblical and Greek reasons for it, there's a book by Pastor Harrell called The Sixth Law of God, and that's a free one online now. I paid $5 for it way back when. But that little book goes into the Greek language of the sixth law in the Septuagint, which is oukmoukesis, which means do not mongrelize. And he goes through the whole book of all of the biblical and non-biblical texts that use that Greek term and what it meant. And it's very simple. You don't mongrelize. You don't create hybrids. You don't mix breeds, whether it's vegetables, trees, animals, or your children. You don't do it.
A cool question on the type of Bible you're talking about, the polyglot,
apostolic Bible polyglot.
Okay, what is the exact difference in that one to, say, a King James English version?
Because the apostolic Bible polyglot is 100% based on the Septuagint and the Greek texts.
Okay. Because I can read Greek. I speak it. Because I was looking to buy it, and I just wanted, because I heard you talk about it. So I definitely wanted to purchase one.
Well, I would be very interested because one of my dear friends is used to live in South Florida. He's now back in Greece. He's been over there for over a year. But John speaks and is fluent in Greek as well, even though he's also very fluent in English. But he told me a lot about Greek terms that I did not know, which is really very interesting. In fact, the word Christos, where we get the word Christ from, he's the one that told me that it's much more than just anointed. It's also has the connotation that he has the Shekinah glory around him. It's Christos, much more picturesque than English.
Yes.
And a lot of the Greek terms are that way, like Adelphos, which is a translated brother in our English, but in the Greek it means from the womb. So Adelphos is from the womb, and it means racial brother. So English, it just says brother. Well, not everybody that's in shoe leather is my brother. Unless he comes from the womb of a white woman, he's not my brother. That's the difference. See?
Yeah.
Man.
It's the little things they're killing us with. The little things that make things much more simple and much more understandable. That's why people make fun of the Bible and the scriptures and say it doesn't make sense, because you look at the world around us and the empirical evidence and you're going, wait a minute, you're telling me these people here that come out of the bush of Africa are my brother, 100% equal to me in all areas. That doesn't fit with logic. It doesn't fit with empirical evidence at all. And then you look at the Bible and you go, well, wait a minute. In the Greek language, that's not what it says. It says that Adelphos is my brother. In fact, the word anthropos, guess what? Anthropos is a compound Greek word. Anthros comes from same thing we get it's not coming to my mind. But it means a male or a man. And pos means to have the face of a man, or to show the face of the countenance of a man. So guess what? What's it say in the Old Testament? That Adam was given the face of God. So when it says anthropos in the Greek language, we just put the word man and men in there, but the actual Greek word was talking about men that have the face of God. Mm. Okay, so you go back through historical books, and what do they say the gods in ancient times were? White men. Okay, yep. why did Cortez have such an easy time with the people of Central America when he landed? Because he looked like the gods. He had the face of God.
Yeah.
A bearded white man. Yeah. All of their traditions said that the gods looked like us. Because in ancient times, we were the gods. We brought what? We brought civilization. We brought God's law. Just exactly what Adam was put here for.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, Dan, I think, you know, there's a million religions. There's a million, there's 100,000 Christian so-called religions, too. But you know what I found? They're all tolerated except for one, ours. And it's pretty obvious why.
Exactly.
It's
why is it
obvious.
The white man is the target of all of the discrimination laws?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Why do you think that is?
Well, all you have to do is look at why they're attacking one race of people today.
Hey, you know, Australia. Let me tell you something. If Australia was black, it wouldn't be on fire.
Exactly. You know what it is? It's a lot of. It's so many lies. There's so many lies out there, and that I definitely have to get the Apostolic Bible because I can read Greek, so which is it's just a lot of those words. Thankfully, there's the lexicon that breaks down the words for you.
Yeah.
But yep. if the Apostolic Bible is one of the most accurate Bibles, I definitely have to read that.
Well, yeah. Let me,
because there's a lot of misinformation.
Yes.
Mixed into all these newer Bibles today, and that's where
Absolutely.
A lot of people have had a lot of questions. I've had
Absolutely.
A lot of questions with that.
Yeah, that's why Thomas Jefferson tore out most of the New Testament.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
you had the Schofield Bible during his time. The Schofield Bible was Jewish run.
The
yes.
rapture.
And
yes.
that's the problem, is all these lies in there. And the thing is, a lot of people will hear thing about white people and all this. They think it's racism. We're not racist people at all. We're telling what is what.
It's the truth.
Like I said, I have nothing against whites. You guys have nothing against non-whites. None of us have.
No, you're right.
None of us have anything against that. We
have just
want
to be
against,
separate.
We want to be. Why did Father Yahweh put borders? There's a reason for that. There's a reason why there wasn't much diversity back in the day. Yes, people traded. Yes, they did all these things, but there was generally why culture stayed within themselves.
Sure.
And that's all we're trying to say.
Dan,
we're not saying anything bad about all that, but we're trying to mitigate problems out there.
Well, the nation of Japan is one of the perfect examples of why homogeneous populations are successful.
Yes.
The Japanese to this day do not condone mixing of race.
No, the Japanese are very strict on
all right.
culture.
All right, and so
very
they have
strict.
The benefits from that.
Yeah.
They're very low crime rate. They're able to operate at a much higher level than average people because they don't have that problem because it's homogeneous.
Yep.
Okay, my friend went to China recently, and he went into a coffee shop for lunch with some of the guys he was there with. They spent like 2 hours at their meal. They left their car unlocked with the windows down. Their cell phones and laptops and all were just sitting on the car seats, and when they went back, they were still sitting there.
Yep.
Because in that culture, if you're a thief, the people on the sidewalks would pummel you.
Yeah.
Yep.
Why? Because they're a family. They're homogeneous.
Yep. Yeah. Even back in the United States, we could leave our doors open. Your neighbors would be like, hey, there's a weird car driving down the road. I remember back in the 80s.
That's right.
You can't do that today.
But the difference there is that's before they were empowered to the point where they are today. And that's taken place over the past couple of decades, mostly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
listen, gentlemen, I have to hop off.
Yeah, so do I.
It was great to talk to you, and Yahweh bless.
Yep.
You guys have a great day, and
yeah.
we'll t- talk to you guys soon.
Yeah, take care, Tommy. Yahweh bless
you. Take care, man.
All right. See you, Tom.
All right, closing thoughts, Henry, here, because I'm going to reverse here and then say the closing prayer.
Oh, I don't know. I just think our country today, it reminds me of the old Soviet Union. It's an hypocrisy. Parasites feeding on its own people. It's also like Weimar Germany in the 1920s. I guess the question is what we're going to do about it. And hopefully, as all this shit that's happening now between the Second Amendment and everything else in the Iranian situation, as it all unfolds, hopefully, as it unfolds, people, if we're given the tools, we'll know what to do with them. And I'm just going to pray as hard as I've ever prayed before, because I feel something very, very, very awesome is about to happen. Awesome in the sense that it could be very destructive, but it also could be very, very glorious on the other side. So with that, I'll just say Yahweh bless, and thanks for having me on.
Yep. Take care, Henry. Yahweh bless, buddy.
See you later.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, real quick, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Wash yourselves. Make yourself clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek justice. Relieve the oppressed. Defend the fatherless. And plead for the widow. Very good. Isaiah chapter 1, 16 and 17. We're not doing that, in case you were wondering. And that's why one of the many reasons why we're in so much trouble. We got to get back to the basics. And the sooner we do that, the better. And if we don't, shame on us. As far as what's going on right now, again, if we need an emergency broadcast, I'll do it. But as it stands right now, it'll be Wednesday night. I will put up as much information on the website, on the Daily Mail page, as I can come across. And I would suggest go to PastorDan.net and check it as often as you can, because anything that's important, I'll put up there immediately. And if it's important enough, we'll have a special broadcast or a special guest. I have some military people that I might be able to bring on here very soon with some insights on that aspect. But we'll see. In the meantime, you have to stay strong with the Father and count on the Holy Spirit for good discernment, and do as the men said there and the military guys I talked to. Prepare to defend yourselves. Prepare to stay hunkered down in your area. But also don't forget that part of your preparation should be finding like-minded people that are close to you. Thinking that you're going to come through all of this all by yourself and not need anybody else's help, that's kind of foolish. So, and again, you may not agree on everything, but find the things that you have common ground on and work on that. But you definitely need to work, network with folks, all right? So, anyway, dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters around the world. We thank you for Henry and for Tommy calling in. We ask for you to look over Brother Michael and see to his wounds, and hope that situation works out well. Be with all of your children all over this earth who are struggling at this time, because we are flooded with lies and misinformation, just an absolute flood. And most of our lands are flooded with aliens. And some of those people are not going to be good people. And this is definitely Satan's children trying to flood us, as the Bible says, that Satan would send a flood after the children, the woman and her children in the wilderness. That's us. Our white nations are flooded. So the biblical prophecies are unfolding before us. We pray for Obadiah 18. We pray for Revelation to come true. We pray for Ezekiel chapter 25 to come true. Malachi chapter 4. We just pray that the men, the warriors of our people, righteous men, not just renegades and troublemakers, we're talking righteous men, will grow a backbone and be willing to take a stand against evil wherever we find it. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious and holy name. Hallelujah.